WTR, New York.
Probably that.
Sit in the morning. Talk Radio 77. WABC.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Tri-State, and points northwest, east, and everybody listening on the 77 WABC app around the country, around the globe, to the Bernie and Sid Show on this Tuesday, 2 days from Thanksgiving, also simulcast out on Eastern Long Island, News Talk 107.1 FM. Live streamed at WABCRadio.tv on your smart TVs, on your computers, ladies and gentlemen, WABCRadio.tv. So, 2 days from Thanksgiving. Tonight, they will actually rehearse the Thanksgiving Day Parade in our old neighborhood on 34th Street. They're going to close down 34th Street. And, of course, LeBron James is at Madison Square Garden for the Knick game, though he's not going to play. He's been suspended. However, I'm sure he's going to be on the bench, and people have already anticipated that he would have played. It's going to be a traffic nightmare there, but you feel a festivity in the air here in New York. I do anyway, and it's a good thing. But I'm fresh off my MRI from yesterday. Let me just say this, folks. If you ever have an MRI, it's like being in a straitjacket.
The worst.
It's mind over matter, though. That's all it is. It's mind over matter. Just lay down, be calm, control yourself. Just think, you could be locked in the trunk of a car, tied up, and the prospect of getting out is nil. You're going to be freezing, and you can't move. Your mouth is gagged. So compare it to that. Trick your mind is what
it's kind of the same thing. I got to be honest.
You're like in a straitjacket, I know.
I've got an MRI since I hurt my shoulder and my back, and I was so uncomfortable. Oh, my God.
The difference is there is light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, yeah, you're not going to die in there.
And that's how
that's the only
that's
difference.
How I got through it, because I am generally claustrophobic. But if I have to do something, you have to do something.
No, I'm with you. And you're right. The festivity is in the air. I'm not going to go watch the rehearsal tonight, but tomorrow, after we take my son Gabriel out, tomorrow he celebrates his 13th birthday. My son becomes a teenager tomorrow. We're taking him to Peter Luger for dinner, but an early dinner, because he's going to come right back to the city and go watch them blow up the balloons on Amsterdam Avenue right by my house, which is something we did years and years ago as they get ready for the parade on Thursday morning. So we're going to get knee-deep in these festivities between now, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. And on the cab ride over this morning with my man Gene, who, by the way, Bernie, I have to tell you this, Gene shows up this morning at 4:30 a.m. like he does every day, my cab/limo driver, with a box about the size of this table. His wife is a baker, and she made Gabriel a birthday cake, which I had to bring upstairs and put in the fridge at 4:30 this morning. This big, beautiful birthday cake. You may remember back in April, he made me one. And I photographed the picture, put it on Instagram.
Yep.
You remember?
Yep.
So this morning he dropped off the Gabe cake. And it was just beautiful. But in the cab on the way here this morning, there was a commercial running for New York City. And it showed the Thanksgiving, the Macy's parade into all the stores, all the lights in the stores, right through Santa and the New Year's Eve bash. And it really does depict how for the next 5 weeks or so, there is no place in the world, no place in the world more festive this time of year than New York City.
I don't think so. I really don't think so. It is terrific. It's great. Now, look, let me segue to a story about a very, very local story right now. It has national implications. It's become a national story, believe it or not. It doesn't get more local than this for me, which is that the only emergency room in Long Beach, New York, has been shut down because of the New York State vaccine mandate imposed by Governor Hochul. And this is the first, I believe, emergency room shut down anywhere in the country because they don't have enough nurses. They don't have enough healthcare workers to staff this thing. This was all over the news last night. Again, like I say, it's national. This is a local report right here. Take a listen.
Good evening. I'm Dana Tyler. We start tonight on Long Island, where a hospital has been forced to shut down a satellite emergency room because of a staffing shortage. CBS 2's Carolyn Gusoff is live at Mount Sinai, South Nassau in Long Beach with the story. Carolyn?
Dana, good evening. I've been watching crews all evening covering up and taking down emergency room signs. And in their place, this sign, this place is temporarily closed. Vaccine hesitancy having a direct impact today on healthcare in Long Beach as its only emergency room stops seeing patients.
So this, again, I've used that emergency room. I remember there was one night I took my dad. It was Christmas night about 3 or 4 years ago. Christmas night, we took him. He had a heart attack. We took him there. So just picture this. What they're going to do is, and this, by the way, this vaccine mandate is for the health of the people. So you have a city of tens of thousands of people, and they have no emergency room, no hospital to go to. They have to travel actually more than a half hour, really, in traffic. It's way more than a half hour. Maybe at 2 o'clock in the morning, it's 25 minutes as advertised. But they're gonna post an ambulance outside the emergency room. So just picture this. You got one ambulance sitting outside the emergency room. Joe Dirt shows up, and he's got an opioid overdose, right? And he jumps in the ambulance, and the ambulance goes and takes him to South Nassau, whatever the hell it is, a half hour away. Then Homie the Clown shows up with a gunshot wound, and there's no ambulance. Now, Homie the Clown is sitting there. He had enough money to afford that stupid Uber to get there.
Isn't he bleeding to death, too, at some
point? Yeah, he's bleeding to death.
Okay.
And he's got to sit there and wait for that one ambulance to come back. Now, I show up with my dad with a heart attack.
Ugh.
I got Homie the Clown sitting in front of me, bleeding to death, waiting for the next ambulance, because obviously the ambulance will start treating you once you get in it.
Sure.
So now I got another half hour for me to take my dad up to the next available emergency room. All in the name of our health. Thank you, Governor Hochul. It's really...
What a mess.
Really stupid, and what a complete and total mess, this vaccine mandate. It would not happen. It would not happen in Florida or a lot of other Republican states.
Texas.
But these Democrats are sick in the head. Yo, where's my ambulance at, bitch? Yo, my boy is shot right here. Where's my ambulance, bro? So, yeah, look, anything the Democrats do turns to shizzle. It turns to crap. It's garbage. They are the worst, the absolute unmitigated worst, these Democrats. And again, it's right there. It affects me. What if I fall down a flight of stairs? I'm screwed.
Well, I mean, you know, you would go to Columbia Presbyterian Hospital anyway. It's a much better hospital than anything on Long Island.
Emergency room, I'm talking. Emergency. What if I need something removed from my body? It got stuck there. You know, I'm having a good time.
What
happened?
go to urgent care. But your point is well taken. It's a mess. The Democrats really are a pathetic party, and I do feel badly for folks there on Long Island. But then again, you guys have had it so nicely that it's hard for me to sympathize with you guys about the hospital, because you haven't had any vaccine passport mandates. You've had none of that nonsense. Living in the city is like living in prison.
What?
You guys have been living nicely like Florida.
What?
I'm sorry.
What
you have a vaccine passport mandate.
You're saying you deserve it?
Not you deserve it, but you're not going to get sympathy from me. I live in a prison, New York City. You live in Florida, basically, on Long Island.
Hey, listen, of course, Kyle Rittenhouse gave that interview last night to Tucker Carlson.
It was very good. I saw it.
And he was really, anybody with a fair mind and watched this interview knows he's not the monster that they portrayed him.
No.
They are the monsters. What they did to him, they are the monsters. The prosecution, the media, Joe Biden, all these people, these guys are really monsters. This kid would have been locked up for the rest of his life in a jail if it wasn't for these online journalists showing us on videotape that the kid clearly acted in self-defense. And then listening to him last night, finally humanizing himself. I mean, again, anybody with a fair mind, here's a piece of it. Take a listen to this.
It wasn't Kyle Rittenhouse on trial in Wisconsin. It was the right to self-defense on trial.
Right.
And if I was convicted, no one would ever be privileged to defend their life against attackers. And thank God they came to the correct verdict of a not guilty.
Very thoughtful, just a respectful, nice kid, and was wronged. And it's just obvious. I mean, it's clear. And then, of course, you had... the old imbecile, he's actually going to, this irresponsible imbecile, he's going to release oil from the strategic oil reserves today to try to lower gas prices. Hey, President Imbecile, that strategic oil reserve is for emergencies like, you know, like, for example, the Gulf War. We needed oil desperately for, like, say, China attacks us or something like that. Not to lower gas prices by a nickel a gallon or something like that. He's going to do that today. But he also called this kid a white supremacist.
Yeah.
And the kid addressed it last night. And it looks like he's going to be sued. And remember this, the president, the now President Biden called him that when he was a private citizen. Take a listen.
Mr. President, if I could say one thing to you, I would urge you to go back and watch the trial and understand the facts before you make a statement. It's actual malice defaming my character for him to say something like that. It's actually quite hysterical how nobody can go back and look at the facts of the case. He crossed state lines, false. He's a white supremacist, false. None of that is true.
None of that is true, and he said with malice. He was using legal terms.
Yes.
So you know.
He's already been schooled.
He's ready to take.
He already spoke to Joe Tacopina, who'll be in the studio tomorrow.
So, you know, there are so many losers out there, so many just hateful, deranged people that just mischaracterize everything. And everything from, you know, these Democratic politicians to actors who think they mean something. Did you ever hear of a guy named Mark Ruffalo?
Of course. He's a really good actor, actually. Really good actor. But yeah. He's one of those...
What was he in? I mean, I've heard of him.
I know he's IMDb, but he's one of those crazy... He's always talking, Mark Ruffalo. This is not the first time you're going to mention him in one of these situations.
Okay, here's what he wrote after the acquittal. We come together to mourn the lives lost to the same racist system that devalues black lives and devalued the lives of Anthony and JoJo.
Oh, JoJo and Anthony, sure.
You know who JoJo is?
JoJo would be Rosenbaum, the child molester. Super guy.
This is Don Trump Jr. Responding. Don Jr. responding. This is the left using cutesy nicknames for multiple-time convicted child molesters. JoJo is a POS pedophile who sexually assaulted 5 young boys between the ages of 9 and 11 and somehow got out of jail. But he's a really good dude who's just misunderstood. And then he writes, F these people!
Yeah, kind of like the guy that drove through the people in Wisconsin 2 days ago who was set free on a $1,000 bail, which is a whole other disaster. But these are all horrible people. And the media, I've watched a lot of this Rittenhouse coverage.
They all have in common, they're all felons.
They're all felons.
All felons.
Yeah, and I've watched a lot of coverage. I watch Chuck Todd. I watch all these people. I hate watch. And no one ever talks about Rosenbaum being a child molester.
Never.
Ever.
Never. Not a word.
They never bring it up.
JoJo.
JoJo.
JoJo. JoJo. JoJo. JoJo. JoJo. JoJo.
In fact, all I keep seeing is...
nice little JoJo. Yeah. My poor boy JoJo got killed.
Rittenhouse is not a hero. And these poor people that were murdered in the street. I mean, there's not a hint that these people were the low lives that they were. Now, look, it's not up to Rittenhouse to kill these people. They were low lives, but it's not his job to kill them. I understand that. But... If you're going to cover the story, you need to describe everybody on the scene.
And especially you need to describe it accurately. Again, the videotape showing that they were attacking him. I'm going to kill you, N-word. I'm going to kill you, N-word. That's what the child rapist said. They need to report that. They never did.
No.
Maria Shriver actually tweeted out, how am I going to explain the Kyle Rittenhouse acquittal to my kids? Maria Shriver.
Oh, she's an idiot, too.
How are you going to explain your Uncle Teddy to your kids, huh?
Uncle Teddy? How about your ex-husband?
Yeah.
How are you going to explain that other kid who's not yours that Arnold has? How do you explain that one?
And then
while you were married to him, Maria.
And then you had Jalen Rose. Remember yesterday?
Oh, he's another idiot.
Jonathan Carl yesterday. I played the clip Friday.
You said Jacob Blake was dead.
Jacob Blake was dead. Well, yeah. This happened on Friday night as well. Jalen Rose on ESPN. He's talking to Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah.
Stuck in traffic. Anyway, this is what he said.
Here's the thing. The Black Lives Matter protest was actually taking place because Jacob Blake was shot and killed by police officers.
Well, close. He was almost killed.
All the idiots sitting there watching, they're like, Jacob Blake.
Well, I got to tell you, I put ESPN on Sunday morning because on Sunday mornings I like their football coverage. I like Rex Ryan. I go back and forth between them and NFL Network. And they preview all the games, blah, blah, blah. And they broke into breaking news on ESPN. This goes to show you how bad it is. Rittenhouse verdict. And all these people started to opine on the Rittenhouse verdict. Now, I got to tell you, the last place I want to see news even if they were Republicans, even if they were on our side, I don't want to see it on ESPN. So now they're doing news, and then, of course, you get people like Jalen Rose who are completely uninformed.
Completely uninformed and spreading misinformation, disinformation.
Morons.
Whatever you want.
Morons.
Inciting violence, divisiveness, hatred. That's essentially what
Stephen
he was
A. doing. Stephen A. is no better. I like Stephen A. He's entertaining on TV, but he's no better. He has said more racist things in the past than just about anybody. And now your other friend, Max Kellerman, he's got his own show because Stephen A. Smith kicked him out. His own show weekday afternoons, and he's worse. So it is a roster of racists and morons.
Max Kellerman is such a pandering little spineless bitch.
The one that Tim McCarthy left.
Yeah, he's glad. He's a happy guy. Pete Morgan in the house.
Look at him.
Peerless Boilers. How the hell are you, Petey? It's good to see you, man. Always. Look at him. Slim and trim.
Looks great.
Tanned and rested.
He actually came. Well, yeah. Well, not me. It's not fair. But he actually came, him and his lovely wife, Maureen, to Gabriel's bar mitzvah. And he looked beautiful like you look today. So it's good to see you again.
Oh, it's great.
Good to be seen, boys. Good.
Did you bring bagels at least?
Of course I did.
All right. Oh, see, you guys
kidding me?
No schmear, though. You're out of luck. You're
That's what we Irish do. We bring stuff.
Wait.
I'm the Bernie and Sid.
What?
1-800-848-9222. We're coming right back.
Please.
Touch me in the pouring rain, and the moment that you wander far from me, I wanna feel you in my arms again.
Getting my Brooklyn on, folks, for the holiday season at 6:25 on your Tuesday morning. Just a quick programming update. After today, Bernie is out until next Monday. I've got you solo tomorrow, and then of course Thursday and Friday we're both off for the Thanksgiving holiday. But getting my Brooklyn on because every year, right about a week or two from now, we make our way into Brooklyn, Arthur Idala's neighborhood there in Bay Ridge, where to this day still, pound for pound, or maybe house for house, the Christmas decorations are the most beautiful anywhere in the country. And you make a whole night of it. You go for dinner on 3rd or 4th Avenue in Bay Ridge, go up and down all the streets, take a look at all the houses. And it really, really works for your holiday season in Brooklyn. So there you have it. How Deep Is Your Love, the Bee Gees, Saturday Night Fever. That movie is now 44 years old. You want to feel old, Bernie? That movie is now 44 years old.
Yeah, yeah. I feel old. Yeah,
you feel old, right?
I do.
How do you think Donna Pescow feels?
what was it, like 78?
77, I think.
77?
44 years, yeah.
Well, that's it. Time flies, but it's not 54 years old.
Well, not yet, but it's going to get
coming.
There.
It's coming.
Before you know it, it's going
to
get there.
This was your anthem. This was inspired you to really do the whole lifelong cultural appropriation thing.
Well, that
right?
was it.
All the meatheads at Poly Prep.
You just nailed it.
Yeah.
You just nailed
it. Those guys really got into your head, and that movie just totally got into your head.
Yeah.
And here you are today.
but it's so funny.
All muscled up, tanned, and you got the bling all over the place.
And playing two mobsters
in a TV show
and a movie. Dave Busco in Gravesend, and of course Dracula in Gemini Lounge. But you've nailed the two things. God, you know me so well. Maybe better than anybody. Actually, you do know me better than anybody. Because it was those two things. It was Saturday Night Fever, and then going to Poly, where kids like 16 years old, like Vinnie Ponti, whose parents owned that great restaurant on the West Side Highway for all those years, were driving Jaguars. Was in Brooklyn at 16 years old. I just wanted to be them, man. All the girls loved them. Pontiac Firebirds, great clothing, bookmakers, cocaine, all the stuff I loved growing up. They had all of it. And here I came in this geeky Jew from Quentin Road in Brooklyn. I wanted to be one of them.
Did you have to wear on certain holidays, say when you went to Poly Prep, a yarmulke?
No. No, yarmulkes. Yeah, they made fun of Jewish people.
Well, that's why I'm asking.
There were four Jews in my class. I think I remember every one of their names. I think it was Ed Gerstenfeld, Bernie Nadel, Sid Rosenberg. There was one more. And I was like the only one that was hanging out with the cool kids.
Abe, Bernie, and Sid.
I mean, it was. And let me tell you something. I went through quite a bit of ribbing there. Don't kid yourself. It wasn't just the football coaches trying to have sex with the players. It's been two of those now. Two of those.
Listen, all growing up is essentially a version, a lesser version of Lord of the Flies, no matter where you are.
It's true.
I mean, kids are brutal.
Brutal.
And that goes for your experience. It goes for mine. Certainly mine in the minority neighborhoods, I mean, whatever. But that's true even in the rural America. Kids are just brutal towards each other. They're bullies. It happens. It's what builds your character, essentially, and shapes you for life, how you deal with it.
Or destroys you.
Exactly. Yeah, it could be.
So my parents said, enough of this. Spending $5,000 a year to go to Poly, the kids getting bad grades, hanging out with all Italian kids, doesn't have one Jewish friend. We're going to flip the tables and send him to yeshiva in an effort to fix me in the 10th grade. And things got progressively worse.
Try to pull him back to our culture.
And here comes Yitzi and Victor and all.
Yitzi!
Yitzi. All these guys that were really degenerates. They made the Italian kids look like altar boys.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Forget
so
about
funny.
It.
That is funny.
So it kind of backfired on my mother and father. Talking about my dad, again, most of you know, the last time I saw my father alive was 2 years ago Thanksgiving at my niece Tamara's house in New City. But 3 years ago yesterday, we also celebrated Thanksgiving. It turned out to be the last year of his life at my sister's house in New City. And I put this beautiful picture up of me and my father on my Instagram at Rosenberg.Sydney, on my Twitter at Sid Rosenberg, and on Facebook, Sid Rosenberg. And I did see this morning, Bernie, that you liked the picture.
Absolutely.
Isn't that a great shot?
Come on, man. It really almost brought a tear to my eye, I got to tell you.
Well, you're going to get your father tonight, aren't you? Tomorrow.
No, today.
Today.
Today. Today I will reunite with the with Pops. But still, that picture of yours with Dad was, he's sitting there with the blanket. Clearly not himself.
That's when he started to get really, really sick right about there.
And
the last year he suffered, obviously. But that's what this time of year is all about, folks. You got to be grateful and thankful. Thankful for the memories, for those who are not with us anymore. And certainly grateful for those who are with us, that love us, support us, folks that are loyal, not the backstabbers and the people that go out there every day just nasty, just nasty. Figure it out, folks. There's no reason to get nasty. Just figure it out. Right? I mean, we're all human beings. Everybody wants to basically get along. Figure it out.
We all have this, really, it used to be we all had the same goals, which was just to be happy, a bit prosperous.
Right.
And to get along. That's
if you're upset
it.
About something, just contact the person and figure it out.
But now the hate is off the charts.
Off the
charts. The pettiness, the jealousy, the ingratitude, the lack of perspective. It's really just awful. People just they don't know how good we have it. How good we can have it if we just had the right mindset. You're absolutely right. It's time to give thanks. But unfortunately, a lot of people are just they're just filled with bitterness and hatred, and they don't realize any of what I just mentioned.
True. 1-800-848-WABC, as always, that's the number. 1-800-848-9222. Bo Dietl coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. Author David Bonson, he's got a new book out. It is There's No Free Lunch, 250 Economic Truths. He'll be here at 9:05. And my friend Tony Oso, yes, you remember I handed out knapsacks last year up and down 7th Avenue to the homeless. I'm going to do it again this year, next week, actually. Tony's going to bring in one of those knapsacks, put it on television today. You'll see what's inside those bags and talk about this year's handing out of the knapsacks as well. So three great guests. Tuesday morning, Thanksgiving week. We are Bernie and Sid.
Oh, traffic and sports, my folks, my I was going to say my ninjas, but the traffic and sports is coming up next. But right now it is time for the 77 WABC Clip of the Day. Listen to Bo Snerdly weekdays at 4 o'clock and Saturdays at 8 o'clock. Here Bo talks about scam calls.
I would love it if some politician stood up before the United States of America and says, I'm going to be the person to stop all the scam calls that you get every day to your mobile phone and to your home phone. I'm going to be the one to stop the scam calls where people are calling you claiming they're from the IRS, claiming they're from the Treasury Department. Telecoms must have a way of knowing where these calls are coming from, and they should be able to shut them down.
Shut them down.
This is Sid on Sports.
Oh, my goodness.
Sponsored by Fearless Boilers on 77 WABC.
Brutal night for the football Giants in Tampa Bay. What a lousy way to close out week 11. The Giants blown out by the Buccaneers, 30-10. Another big night for Tom Brady, 307 yards and two more touchdown passes, including this one.
Defense is out. Brady to throw. But Godwin breaks a tackle and he'll stroll into the end zone. Touchdown, Buccaneers. Wow, was that easy for Tampa Bay.
My friend Steve Levy, ESPN on the call. Again, the Giants lose by 20. Coach Joe Judge, after the game, really upset, railing on the Giant coaching staff, especially offensive coordinator Jason Garrett. Here was Coach Joe Judge after the latest Giant loss.
We got to do a better job scoring points. Keep it just very blunt on that right there. We got to do a better job putting our players in position to make plays. We have too many good players. We got to put them in a better position to capitalize on it. We got to make sure, you know, we sit down tomorrow as a coaching staff and understand how we got to play this game and give our players a chance to make plays. So in reference to any kind of body language or anything at the end of the game, I'll handle the corrections we got to make.
Giants fall to 3-7. Up next, they'll host Justin Ellicks, Philadelphia Eagles. First shot the win over the Saints on Sunday in New Jersey. The Jets, they're in Houston for the Texans. NBA last night, big night for Kevin Durant. He put in 27, the Marcus Aldridge 21, and the Nets beat Cleveland 117-112. Don't look now, but at 13-5, Brooklyn is the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, one better than the Chicago Bulls. The Knicks are back home tonight. They'll take on the LeBron James-less Los Angeles Lakers. Sports brought to you by you, Pete. Thank you for that. The great Pete Morgan, Peerless Boilers. Check them out today and every day at PeerlessBoilers.com and PavilionTankless.com. They do build America's best boilers. With sports, I'm Sid.
Ah! Huh. Yeah. What is it good for?
Absolutely.
Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show. Heard everywhere in the 77 WABC app, ladies and gentlemen. News Talk 107.1 FM out on the island and also live streamed at WABCRadio.tv. 2 days from Thanksgiving. We're very excited about that here on the Bernie and Sid Show as Pete Morgan from Peerless Boilers sits in with us. Though the news can put a damper on some things. You got to block it out. You got to put on your psychological helmet. All the crime we're witnessing out there. But we were just talking about how bitter people are and lack perspective. I mean, one of the funniest things, this has actually made me laugh, was MSNBC had on a guest. And yes, they're trashing the holiday known as Thanksgiving, just like they do Columbus Day. Listen to this guest on MSNBC. I mean, this guy just sounds like a lot of fun. Take a listen.
The mythology of Thanksgiving closely mirrors the mythology of America. White settlers come to a strange land in good faith, bringing something of great value that enriches the people who are already here. The truth, of course, of Thanksgiving is much different. They brought nothing of value, but they got fed. They got schooled. Instead of bringing stuffing and biscuits, those settlers brought genocide and violence. And violent private white supremacy is celebrated and subsidized. That is the reality of Thanksgiving.
That is the reality. That's MSNBC.
Who was that moron?
I have no idea. He was a guest. He's some professor at some college. It doesn't even matter. I wouldn't give him the time of day by finding out what his name is. It's just typical, emblematic of people who lack perspective. In other words, this guy, you know what? Do you think people after the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict or after all the horrible things that have been going on in this country with George Floyd, you think anybody turned around at the border and went the other way?
No.
I don't think they did.
No.
I think they're still trying to come in here by the hundreds of thousands. Because why? Because it's the greatest country in the history of civilization, ladies and gentlemen. And we give thanks for that. It still is, and we're trying to keep it that way. Even though this crime stuff, this whole Waukesha, help me out.
Waukesha,
Wisconsin. The Milwaukee DA actually freed this guy. He tried to, his girlfriend, his baby mama, he tried to run over a black woman, right? A black woman.
Well, he's a black guy.
And the Milwaukee DA didn't care about this black woman, this guy, this George Soros-funded Milwaukee DA, just like in San Francisco, George Soros-funded. I know, maybe you have not heard of George Soros. He's a multi-billionaire who funds all kinds of crazy left-wing things. All these DAs all over the place. The crazy lunatic DA in Brooklyn, the one in the Bronx, he funded those guys. He funded the one in San Francisco, Chesa Boudin, who made the this shoplifting not a crime, which resulted, by the way, they had the third consecutive day of looting yesterday as these gangs are just attacking these stores.
Nordstrom, they took over the whole store.
That was Nordstrom. They had 80 people in Nordstrom. That was the first one. And then yesterday they had 40 to 50 teenage looters wielding 40 to 50 wielding hammers and smashing glass cases at a Hayward jewelry store. And then about an hour later in San Jose, California, a group of suspects entered a Lululemon and took an unknown amount of merchandise. So 80, 50, and then that one. So,
well, by the way,
it's like a rash.
It is a rash of this stuff. But just to be fair, they're doing the same exact thing in Europe. I mean, in big numbers. Big numbers. Setting stuff on fire, breaking into stores, wreaking havoc. They're doing the same exact thing over the mandates, the COVID mandates in Europe.
Yeah, this is completely different.
I know that. It's different in why they're doing it. But what I'm saying is the animals have taken to the streets, not just in America, but in Europe, too. This is not exclusive to us, is my point. They do this everywhere, Bernie. They get upset, and they break stuff. They set stuff on fire. They steal. It's not just America.
This is a completely different animal. No, it's not.
It's a different story. It's the same outcome. People taking it to the streets.
Yeah, they're protesting in the streets the COVID mandates.
Because they're robbing stores.
They're taking their liberties away. Nobody's taking these people's liberty away.
I understand
they're
that.
They're just brazenly robbing. And society is breaking down is what's happening with these people. This is a horrific situation with these, again, these DAs. This guy, Chesa Boudin, is the son of domestic terrorists, literally domestic terrorists. And they actually have a recall petition for this guy. That's the good news. It's the same thing in L.A., that another Soros-funded guy. Same thing with the Kim Fox in Chicago. Same thing with the Philadelphia guy, I forget his name.
Tom Wolf.
No, he's
a governor, not the DA.
Yeah, whatever. Either way, these people, and what is... yesterday, this is what AOC tweets out. Today, we sent a letter to Rep Maloney, Rep Raskin, and Maloney, and New York City's five district attorneys requesting information on excessive bail in the New York City court system. When prosecutors seek excessive cash bail, it results in increased rates of incarceration, particularly for low-income defendants. How tone-deaf is this idiot? The day after, the guy was out on $1,000 bail for trying to run over his black baby mama that the police went and tried to help, and then the DA let this animal out to run over a bunch of dancing grannies and kids in the streets in a Christmas parade. She puts this tweet out. What a stupid person. And again,
this is ridiculous.
It really is. These are stupid people is what they are. De Blasio also, he was talking about the subway killer. Remember the guy who was stabbed in the neck?
Of course.
Sleeping.
The soccer player.
Soccer player minding his own business, you know, just trying to get a couple of winks on the one, the two train, exactly, to be precise, in Penn Station. This was the big idiot De Blasio yesterday speaking on that. Take a listen.
Horrible incident for sure. I understand why anything like that is troubling to people, but I want to at the same time say, of course, it's true to say perception and reality both matter. The single most important thing is the facts on the ground. NYPD, we surged a huge NYPD presence into the subways, highest level in decades. It had a big effect. If you look at the overall situation in the subways, crime is down from what we experienced last year and getting better.
Crime is down and getting better. So what are you worried about, folks? Hey, what's the countdown now? About a month and 2 weeks with this guy, perhaps?
That's about it. About 6 weeks.
Yep. I mean, it can't come soon enough. It cannot come soon enough. You know, Kathy Hochul leads Tish James in the polls by like double the numbers.
Killing her.
Really.
It's like Matthew McConaughey in Texas.
And you know why, right?
No.
White supremacy.
Oh,
come on! Are you kidding me? I mean, I'm trying to school you all these months here.
Well, plus she slept with Andrew Cuomo.
You know, speaking of Cuomo, they put out a report yesterday on Cuomo.
Wasn't pretty.
Oh my God!
It's like 9 billion sexual harassment.
Like
charges.
A lot worse than what anybody thought.
Yeah, much worse.
And the book thing—they may claw back that money from him if he hasn't sent it to Switzerland yet in some private bank account.
Who cares?
Here's what the aforementioned Governor Hochul, whose stupid mandate led to the closing of the only emergency room in my town yesterday, which is getting national news. talked about it earlier. We'll talk about it again later. But this is what she said about Cuomo, because he may run for governor as well again. Take a listen.
I insisted that the Department of Health release the true nursing home deaths picture because it had been not released before.
Yeah.
And every agency is required to be very transparent.
Every agency is required to be very transparent.
You just made the point
doing it.
And you just made the point that, of course, Cuomo was not transparent on the nursing home deaths, that he may run again, and he can. That's why this impeachment thing becomes so important. You know, you heard 2 days ago that they're still trying to impeach Cuomo, and they're doing that to make sure he can't run again, because as of right now, believe it or not, with all this nastiness out there, he can run for governor.
He really can, and that's why they need to actually impeach him.
Yeah.
In the House, in the state legislature, which they may still do, based on this report yesterday.
Well, Heastie just backed off in a big way once they got him, and once he resigned, Heastie backed off. But again, if you want to make sure he cannot serve in the future, you cannot back off.
Get him out.
No, yeah, get him out. Exactly. Yeah, just put an end to this guy who weighed in again on the Rittenhouse verdict with. This is a stain on our criminal justice. You're a stain on our criminal justice system, stupid. Shut up. Stay out of the news. Hey, speaking of the criminal justice system, mentioning the Milwaukee DA actually apologized for allowing this animal out on $1,000 bail after trying to run over his black baby mama and then running over all those white people in the Christmas Day parade. He apologized. Okay, apology? You got 5 dead dancing grannies, for God's sakes, and a bunch of kids. And it wasn't any – this guy had a 50-page long rap sheet. This David Brooks or whatever the hell his name is, Brandon Brooks. I don't know what it is. But either way, a 50-page rap sheet, and he's been online. He's like an aspiring rapper, and he once taught – he's a registered sex offender in the state of Nevada. And he talked about that, believe it or not, online. Knowing all this, the DA still set $1,000 bail. But anyway, take a listen to this idiot.
And then as soon as we fall out, all of a sudden now I'm a pedophile.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me explain that. 10 years ago, 2006, I caught a case with my oldest daughter's mama. Yes, my baby mama. She's from Oakland. I was busting moves in Nevada. I meet the b***h. She says she want to get down, so I'm pimping on the b***h. I take her to Nevada. You know what I'm saying? I get cracked. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know the b***h was 16 at the time. She gave a statement to the police and told them, yeah, she was hoeing, that I was pimping, and that she was 16, and that I didn't know that, okay?
Yeah, I was making moves in Nevada. I'm a player. I'm a big-time player. You're a loser, a low-life piece of garbage, racist loser. He's got a bunch of posts about BLM, black nationalism, and how to kill people with vehicles. And you mentioned yesterday, Sid, this Illinois Democrat who talked about, she worked for the Democrat Party in Chicago, and she actually called the rampage, the killings in Waukesha, a karma.
Karma, yeah.
Well, the good news is she quit. She's out today.
Well, she quit. They got rid of her.
Well, yeah, I'm sure they forced her.
Yeah, of course,
they forced
her to get out. She was in charge of the social media for the Democrats. It's not Chicago, but it's some small city outside of Illinois.
It's actually DuPage County.
Right. But nevertheless, they did get rid of her, which is too late. It's too late.
And then she writes about him, this guy that I just played, the guy that just talked about, yeah, I was making moves in Nevada. I didn't know she was 16 years old. She wrote this, living in Wisconsin, he probably felt threatened.
I mean, she wrote
the guy.
It's unbelievable.
It really is. And speaking of feeling threatened, I talked about it a little earlier, bears a little more discussion, I guess. You might want to hear about it. You didn't hear earlier. Rittenhouse gave an interview to Tucker Carlson, which, by the way, they've been following him for a long time. He's got like a whole Fox Nation. It's a controversy. They're saying that he paid Kyle Rittenhouse for the interview. Who cares? The kid was humanized. We saw he was a respectful, nice kid.
Who paid
yesterday.
Him? Tucker Carlson?
Yeah, Fox.
Okay,
Tucker
fine.
Carlson. Who
okay.
cares? Whatever. Either way, you cannot come away after watching him speak for almost an hour yesterday not thinking he's actually a respectful, nice, young kid. Just a kid, that's it, who was totally framed by the monsters, the animals in the news media, the Democrats, Joe Biden, slandering him, white supremacists for no good reason. And he talked about this dude, JoJo Rosenbaum, Mark Ruffalo's friend, JoJo, my friend JoJo got killed. Anyway, he talked about that guy and what that guy did, how he was threatening him. Listen to a Rittenhouse.
There's actually a second time he said to the group, he said, I'm going to effing kill you. I'm going to cut your hearts out, you effing N-words. What I noticed is the rioters were trying to, they were like disassociating with him because he was like spewing the N-word around, and they just didn't seem to want to have anything to deal with them, the rioters. Yeah.
So Mark Ruffalo, Mayor de Blasio, Reese Witherspoon, Maria Shriver, and Joe Biden, and all these people, Kamala Harris, they're all upset over a guy who not only was a child rapist, but also threw around the N-word. They're defending the N-word, these people. They're out of their freaking minds. They make me sick to my stomach, and I don't know. I'm just... I'm glad I'm on vacation after today because I just can't take it anymore. I want to watch Laurel and Hardy and the March of the Wooden Soldiers and get the hell away from this crap. I got to tell you,
I'm just, with you.
It's
believe
so depressing.
It is very, very depressing. That's why I told you. While you're watching some of this stuff, watch Yellowstone. That's a great, great show on Paramount. Great show. And then
Pete Morgan agrees. By the way,
Pete Morgan, is that a great show? Best show on television.
Great show. I just watched the latest episode last night with Maureen. And
yeah.
It was. Is it terrific?
Yeah. Compare it to The Sopranos.
It's almost like a cowboy Soprano.
Yeah, I mean, again,
it's very, very similar.
Right, because
just out in Montana,
Costner's character plays a powerful. He's like the Gandolfini of Montana, but it's not comparable. That's the streets of Elizabeth, New Jersey, compared to ranches out in Montana.
You know, the one thing I would say is that, like for example, The Sopranos, Breaking Bad, The Crown, Peaky Blinders. Yeah. None of them had any established actors. When I look at a show like, just to say Yellowstone, I see Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
And it actually affects my ability to suspend disbelief.
You shouldn't.
He's
brilliant.
To me, he's the only identifiable guy.
He's brilliant.
The rest of the cast is fantastic.
The daughter.
I don't know any of them.
The daughter's
unbelievable.
That's the best actress I've ever seen.
Oh,
I don't care. You can mention anybody you want on The Sopranos. Nobody better than the daughter on Yellowstone. Nobody.
All the supporting actors, other than Costner, I didn't know any of them.
None of them.
But
no. Costner's great. And Costner's believable because he's done so many of these ranch-type, cowboy-like movies.
Right. Waterworld, right?
Well, that was one.
That was like the biggest flop
brutal.
In the history of Hollywood.
But he did the one
he's
with
great.
The
he's great.
Dances with Wolves.
I understand that. No, I do know that he's fantastic, but that's my only one little
You'll get past that quickly.
I'm going to watch it.
Yeah,
you're
going to love it. You're going to love it. I've actually gone to the Paramount channel and moved away from the Bravo channel. Moved away. Although I did watch the reunion on Sunday, some of the Potomac. Are you still watching that with Maureen?
All the Housewives stumps got away from. It's more
me
Below
too.
Deck. Southern
right.
Charm.
Right.
That Winter House thing they did.
Winter House. Right, right. The Housewives stuff has just gotten way too political and stupid.
Oh, yeah.
You're
just unlikable.
It? Is that what you say? You're moving away?
No, from I don't watch The Housewives really the last. It's
yeah, he's moved
it's
away.
It's rough.
Yeah. He was. He was like me.
I mean,
he was like me.
Pete Morgan, the tough guy, son of a tough New York City cop, and he's watching The Real Housewives.
Hey, listen,
well, my wife.
It's all about Maureen.
Yeah, exactly. You got to watch some of that stuff.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how tough you are. If you want to spend some alone time
with the old lady there.
Sometimes you got to do what she wants to do.
Read it to move on over. I want to sit down and watch it.
But it's kind of like I would watch SpongeBob because Gabriel liked it.
Sure.
Then I'd watch it alone. So I would watch The Housewives because Maureen or Danielle liked it.
Yep.
Then I'd watch it alone. At that point, there's no excuse.
I don't watch it alone.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
All right. Now you
absolutely
just,
not.
Just saved yourself.
Any live ball game.
You just you get your man card back.
Maybe.
Mine's gone.
Mo refers to it as crack TV because that's what happens. You get
it
filled
is.
In. It's addictive.
You can't get out. Bo Dietl is coming up next hour. Lydia Reports in the 8 o'clock hour. And we've got David Bonson, author of There's No Free Lunch, and Tony Oso, JL Blessings, handing out knapsacks to the homeless this holiday season. All that still today. Keep it right here. It's Bernie, it's Sid, it's Pete Morgan on this Tuesday edition.
Day. Happy people pass me. my way. Looking in their eyes, I see a memory. I never realized how happy you made me, oh man.
Mandy, Barry Manilow at 7:06. Excuse me, on your Tuesday morning, back in the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show on Talk Radio 77, WABC, 2 days away from Thanksgiving. Most people that I speak to, their favorite holiday is Thanksgiving. Most people. People love Christmas, obviously. Hanukkah starts Monday, and I've got some news on that. You know, last year, and I know you folks remember this, it was a very, very important day and night for me, especially after I lost my father the July previous. Last year, John Katsimatidis, a friend, and his beautiful wife, Margot, gave me the opportunity to light the world's largest menorah during the Hanukkah holiday, which is right on Fifth Avenue, right outside the Plaza Hotel. Well, right now, they've got a gorgeous nativity scene set up for Christmas already. I don't know if you've seen it yet, Bernard, if you've been down Fifth Avenue, but it's gorgeous outside the Plaza Hotel.
Oh, yeah. Every year. Yeah. They
oh, my God.
Nice job.
I don't
nice
remember
job.
Last year being there. The Christmas part.
Last year, 2020, the middle of the pandemic.
Yeah, I didn't see it. Now, this year, it's already been there for 2 weeks.
Probably not, yeah.
Probably not. But the menorah they'll put up this weekend. Monday night is the first night. And for the second consecutive year, coming up next Thursday, December the 2nd, I've been bestowed the honor from the great John Katsimatidis with him to light the world's largest menorah, which is a huge, huge honor for me, and that's coming up next Thursday, the second consecutive year. So thank you to John and Margot for allowing me to do that. That's a big deal.
Now, you have to get in a construction-type vehicle.
That's correct.
Like a Con Ed type of thing. Where
exactly
raises
right.
The top of the light post or something like that,
exactly right?
A little scary, no?
It's like a little box.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's high. It's
so
yes.
You're actually putting your life on the line.
Basically,
So in other words, you are a freaking... Hanukkah hero.
I'm a Hanukkah hero.
How about that?
That's me. Hanukkah hero. I was scared last year. John was okay, but I think I'll be okay this year. It was freezing the night we did it last year. I do remember that. So hopefully the weather will be a little better next Thursday, but that's exciting, and that's coming up next Thursday. And then I had a long conversation last night, Bernie, with a mutual friend of ours, Laura Ellingham McDonough, and she is the young, beautiful lady who's in charge over at Cohen Children's Medical Center.
Yeah. Yep.
You know her, Laura. And, of course, Bernie and I, 2 years ago during Christmas, did our morning show live from the hospital on Long Island. But since COVID, last year we had to do the radiothon from the studios, and this year it'll be the third annual WABC Cohen Children's Medical Center radiothon. Once again, for the second consecutive year, it'll be from the studios. But she's very excited. And actually asked me last night if I would host the whole day, the whole thing for him. I said, of course I would. That's coming up on December the 17th. And then Tony Oso comes in today, Bernard, and he hands out these knapsacks to homeless up and down 7th and 8th Avenue along the city for Christmas. He's coming in today. I believe their drive starts December the 7th. And I'm going to do it again for the second consecutive year. So all these pay it forward things happening with you and me next couple of weeks, which I believe is what this holiday season is all about. I never really did it before. I would do one or two things, hand out toys to kids in my Maimonides Hospital for years. I did that. But this year I've got five or six, maybe even seven different things I'm doing, we're doing to make sure we pay it forward, because at the end of the day, although life's not perfect for either one of us, it's pretty good.
Well, we're led by one of the biggest philanthropists in the city, Mr. Katsimatidis, the Katsimatidis family. So he sets a good example, and we just follow.
True. What is Don in New Jersey? What song did you just send me, Luke? You sent me some John Mayer song. I'm making my bagel with Pete Morgan in the kitchen, and Luke goes, "Do you like that type of music that makes you really, really sad?" I go, "No, I've been faking it. Of course, I love it. I'm in the gym. I actually play ballads, and you sent me a song that you say is a heartbreaker."
Yeah, it's called "You're Gonna Live Forever in Me" by John Mayer. It's off not this most recent album, but the album before that. And yeah, you like all this sappy stuff.
I think I do.
You might be a fan.
So Don in New Jersey, I guess, on line one, wants to know why that's the case. You could put him on. Don, good morning. How are you?
How you doing, Sid? Hey. Listen, I love the show. It's perfect. The only issue I have is, what trauma did you suffer in the 60s and 70s to have to listen to this kind of music? Yeah. When I was a kid, my mother would listen to this crap.
Uh-huh.
Petula Clark, Neil Diamond.
Oh.
And so it was good. Torture. And I,
why was it torture? Why? What's the matter with you?
It's just so sad.
Listen to me. Let me say something to you. I know you now for about 3 seconds, and I can tell already you're a sensitive guy. You're a nice guy. You've got plenty of estrogen running through those veins, so you come off like a tough guy. Give me AC/DC. Give me this. Give me that. But you know you love it. Just say it. It doesn't make you less of a man. There's no more manly man than me. Just say it.
My kids went to Pitt, and then they play that Neil Diamond song, just like they do in Fenway Park. I'm like, what the hell's going
Sweet
on?
Sweet Caroline. Like isn't that a great song?
Yeah.
Sing it with me. Sweet Caroline. Bum, bum, bum. Come on, buddy. Come on, Donnie. Let's do this. Me and you. Come
on. Barry Manilow.
Yeah, the best.
Barbara Streisand.
Oh, so
the
good.
Oh, the Carpenters. I freaking hate the Carpenters.
And we're going to play that coming up at 7:40.
I know you will, Sid.
Yeah.
But so, play AC/DC, and I'll be happy a little bit.
All right, we'll play one AC/DC song for you today. How about that, Donnie?
Love it.
All right, we love you. That's Don in New Jersey. He he loves
nice
that
guy.
Stuff.
The fact that he didn't hit the bup up when you sang Sweet Caroline, he's got no heart.
It's all very subjective.
Everyone does that.
Everybody.
It's all very subjective.
Yeah, but even you would do the bop, bop, bop with Sweet Caroline.
I might.
You have to do that.
Yeah, I might.
You've been to Fenway Park. Mike Barnicle got you tickets.
Yeah, Neil Diamond, I would say, like, for example, Copacabana.
That's Barry Manilow.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I withdraw the comment there.
No, but you may like Neil Diamond, you may like Forever in Blue Jeans.
I like Sweet Caroline, by the way.
Sweet Caroline,
yeah,
there
but,
you have
But some of the Barbara Streisand.
No good, no
to,
good
I have
for
to
you.
Agree with him on
right,
that.
Right, but did you always hate Barbara Streisand, or is it since been this crazy Democrat?
Now it's both, but,
right.
but the music.
At least you're honest.
The music itself, it
doesn't
just
do it for
never
you.
Did anything.
Really, the way
that.
We were, that's not a great song?
Memories is not a bad song.
There you go.
It's not horrible.
Right.
But,
let me hear you sing a little bit of that.
No, I refuse.
Please,
to.
Come on.
Tom
Hanks did it in the movie Big. You can do it.
Do you have a gun? Pull it out.
Pete Morgan. Listen, Pete Morgan is a manly man. A manly man.
No, he just admitted
he
to
loves
watching,
that music.
He watches Real Housewives. He just
that's
told
fine.
Us that.
A manly man watches Real Housewives. Try,
okay.
You know better.
I'm just putting it out there.
More Real Housewives.
Okay, but you like ballads, right? You have no issue.
I missed the song. What was it?
It was Barry Manilow, Mandy.
Oh, he's good. I mean, the guy, he's got 1,000 number one hits, B.
I'm not complaining about Barry Manilow. Look, there's a million songs out there. You can pick and choose.
That's true, but look.
You like up-tempo, you like down-tempo, you like sad, you like upbeat.
We were very young kids when that guy was popular. Man, what do we know?
Yeah.
Good stuff.
It is great stuff.
Yeah.
Absolutely great
the
stuff.
Copa? Come on.
Copa Cabana is a great song.
I already mentioned the Copa. I just did a couple of minutes ago.
There you go.
So, do you remember, today, of course, is the anniversary of President Johnson, Lyndon Johnson, addressing the United States after the JFK assassination. Do you remember when JFK was murdered? I don't know how old you are. You look very young. I doubt you were alive even when he was assassinated, were you?
I was born in 62.
Oh, so you were one.
Yeah.
A baby. So you don't remember any of that.
I remember the Robert Kennedy with the cortege and all that on TV when I was...
No, how many years after John...
Rosie Greer.
68 was Kennedy.
So you were like
68,
six.
And that was about 2 months after, or 2 or 3 months after Martin Luther King was shot and killed.
Right.
That was 68. I remember that year. That was a wild year.
That
was. You talk about unrest and uncertainty.
Well, people have said before the Trump era that year specifically, Bernie, 68 was the one where they always go back to with, you know, the start of the war. But, here we're talking about all these assassinations. And, of course, Malcolm X, after that, was also assassinated. And they found his daughter dead last night.
He was assassinated prior to that. About
what year was he assassinated?
65.
Yeah, I mean, after Kennedy.
After
John Kennedy.
Right, but before Robert and MLK, but they found his daughter dead last night.
They did.
And Shabazz. And
by the way, the same thing, I mention this all the time, the fake local news. You know, there's an angle to all this. This is like a week after they found, they exonerated two of the guys who were locked up for murdering Malcolm X. But the whole, the underlying story of the Malcolm X death was that he broke from the Nation of Islam.
Farrakhan.
Yes, from Elijah Muhammad, to be particular. He was running the Nation of Islam. Malcolm X broke from it, and Louis Farrakhan said he's worthy of death. And so the daughters were so pissed off, everybody, a lot of people were, that they actually took out, in 1995, one of the daughters took out a hit on Louis Farrakhan.
Yes.
And so now one of the daughters dies. It wasn't the one that took out a hit that was arrested for taking out a hit. But you think the local news would put it all in context
well,
for
but,
you.
But the daughter that died was arrested once for animal cruelty.
Well, that's true, too. But the whole thing about Malcolm X and Louis Farrakhan, who are they protecting?
Farrakhan.
Yeah, exactly.
I know.
That's my point.
It's disgusting.
And so put it in context. Educate your viewers and your listeners to know that Louis Farrakhan was behind the death of Malcolm X.
Well, you know who can tell us that with firsthand knowledge? Eric Adams. Oh, come on now. Now, I'm actually on the Eric Adams bandwagon, so I have to find a way to kind of put that Farrakhan relationship to the side because I actually like what Adams has been saying for the last month. So I have to find a way to distance myself from that if I can do that.
Yeah, he's the, well, I guess the least of a lot of evils. You know, I mean, he is what he is. He associated himself at one point and has not disassociated himself.
No, not that I know of. Not that I know of. One more quick call. It's been a great segment. Big Mike in Howard Beach wants to talk about paying it back, paying it forward. Good morning, Big Mike. How are you, pal?
Good morning, gentlemen. You guys do a great job.
Thank you.
You know, this is the time of year of giving thanks, you know, and giving it back. You see a lot of homeless people, and it's cold out, you know. I'll give a shout out to our listeners. You see somebody, help them out, warm meal, blanket, a coat, you know, a little bit. There's a lot of sick and hurting people out there, but then we don't hear about the homeless, and they're all over, you know.
Thank you. They are. I actually, there's a young couple by my, there's a million homeless where I live, a million, but there's one particularly young couple. The guy's probably in his 30s, the girl's in her 20s. And they hang out on 96th and Broadway every day. And yesterday I bought them Krispy Kreme donuts because the store happens to be right there on the corner. And they were so happy. Like I could have bought them a Porsche. You know, I could have bought them a Lamborghini. I got them 4 Krispy Kreme donuts and they were so happy. So there you have it.
Are you contributing to their diabetes?
I am.
Are you proud of yourself?
That's exactly right.
Hey, listen, the guy that was stabbed to death on the subway sleeping, he was homeless too.
He was.
Yeah, he was a homeless guy.
Really?
Yeah. Sadly enough, even though he recently played for a soccer team.
That's what I heard,
like that.
Yeah.
But he was definitely homeless at the time.
Oh.
A lot of people down on their luck at this time. Some of them are the result of bad choices. A lot of them are the result of unfortunate circumstances that beyond their control, whatever it is.
I never cared. You know that. I've said some things with you over the last 6 years. We'll celebrate our 6-year anniversary in January about the homeless. It's so callous and nasty and horrible. I admit it myself. But the last couple of years, you see this little bit of a transformation now. Including handing out knapsacks to the homeless. I'll do again this year.
Somebody stabs you in the neck on the subway, and then it's going to be back to,
that's
the homeless.
True. You're right about that.
No, at this point, the reason for maybe some callousness toward the homeless is that these idiot woke supremacists out there have let them run free in the streets.
No doubt.
They won't institutionalize them and get them the help they need, so therefore the public turns on the homeless.
That's true.
So you're not helping them out. They're out in the street suffering, and plus the public then turns on them, institutionalize them, put them somewhere, get them the help they need. Don't leave them lying around in Penn Station and make people resent them, because that's what you're doing.
Not only laying in Penn Station, but I'll walk back with my son from school, and you know we'll get a homeless guy a couple of days ago that'll follow us for blocks, just looking to get a dollar or two, and that's very scary for my 12-year-old son.
Listen, and I remember when we were at Penn Station. You know, you try to walk into any McDonald's and you got the doorman there. You know,
got to give him a dollar.
The homeless doorman.
Right.
You know, I'm like, get the hell out of my way.
Totally
please.
Agree.
I mean, I don't mind helping guys out if they're sitting there with a bowl on the street, but that's brazen in your face extortion right there.
Agreed. It's also, restaurants do that too. When you go into the bathroom, I know they offer you cologne and gum and mints and all that stuff, but when I see a guy in the bathroom at a restaurant, I never go back. Because I never have singles, and now I'm like, I feel badly. I don't want to feel badly having dinner. I don't have to pay to go make a pee-pee.
Well,
please.
But then again, of course, if you have to make a pee-pee, you have to go back. What, are you going to sit there with a loaded bladder and
giving a guy a dollar? I got to go to the bar. I got to get change.
Come on, bro. You're not exactly breaking stereotypes. So take it easy.
We got Bo Deedle and Bill O'Reilly's morning message on this Tuesday edition of Bernie and Sid. And coma. Here we go. Come on. Yeah. Her name was Lola. Mm-hmm.
name was Lola. She was a showgirl with yellow feathers in her hair and a dress cut down her leg. She would merengue. And
Bill O'Reilly here, and I'm warming up from the NRIA.net studios in New York. Stand by for the O'Reilly Update Morning Edition. On this Tuesday, I am angry and appalled and somewhat shocked, and I don't shock easily, that over the weekend in San Francisco and environs, hundreds of thugs went into major department stores like Nordstrom's, Macy's, armed with hammers, mace, and other weapons, and looted, smashing cabinets, grabbing, running out in a mass display of theft. It happened in a number of places. Police did respond. But what good does that do when prosecutors in the San Francisco area will not even bring the cases against the looters? You don't think this just came out of nowhere? It used to be you went in, shoplifted or looted, you got sent to prison. That doesn't happen anymore in California. Because they've reimagined the justice system. And you know what the reimagining is? You do whatever you want, thug. You hurt anybody you want. You steal. You terrify people. And we're not going to prosecute you. This is the lowest point that I've seen in any criminal justice situation. And it's at the doorstep of the progressive left. If you are still supporting those people, you yourself are un-American. They are disgraceful across the board, and they're ruining this country.
That is the Morning O'Reilly Update. More analysis later on.
Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show, heard everywhere in the 77 WABC app. You know, Bill O'Reilly was fired up, man. Oh, my God. Did you hear him talking about the looting out in the Bay Area and, of course, extending to Chicago and the breakdown of society? He's really honked off at these George Soros prosecutors, as he should be, as we talked about earlier, ruining everything. I mean, just the callous disregard for life led to the, obviously, the Waukesha, Wisconsin horrific massacre. This notion of bail reform. No, Todd Kominsky, it doesn't work. All the rest of you idiots out there who side with the criminals over, you know, law-abiding citizens. Stop. Stop doing it. We hire you guys to lock up the bad guys. That's what we entrust you to do. And you do the opposite.
Well, that's why we saw what we saw a couple of weeks ago with both Ann Donnelly and Bruce Blakeman winning on Long Island. And unfortunately, Laura Kern, who's a nice girl and a pretty good politician, she didn't have a chance in hell because she was associated with Todd Kominsky. So the good news is people are listening, Bernie, and your folks out there on Long Island said, we've had enough.
Yeah, and they have, even in San Francisco, they have a recall petition. Even in, the People's Republic of San Francisco.
But we just went through that in Los Angeles with Gavin Newsom and didn't get it done.
No, that's true. That's true. But the fact that it's there.
No, that's good.
It's actually in that place. It's a good sign. So get rid of these people. You know, just quickly, they finally kicked Thomas Jefferson out of City Hall.
After like 187 years.
You believe that? You believe that?
It's stupid.
Get him out. And they tried to block photographers from showing them taking him out. They didn't want the bad publicity because they know how stupid it is, ridiculous.
Stupid.
And also Teddy Roosevelt, they took him off the Museum of Natural History up there on Fifth Avenue. Why?
Yep.
Because he had a black man standing to his left and an Indian standing to his right. Teddy Roosevelt, what did he do? What was the, so what? He had a black man, it was a solidarity. I mean, what's the...
Sounds to me like that would be perfect. No, what else would you want?
It was toppling statues. This is all a result of the overreaction to the George Floyd killing still. The statue toppling and all that stuff. Now they're doing
stupid.
Go ahead.
Stupid.
Stupid people. Now they're actually officially taking the statues down as opposed to mobs in the streets doing it. You have the authorities actually doing it. It's really a terrible thing.
Well, on the other hand, though, of course, we did have somebody on the other side, the George Floyd statue.
That's right.
In Union Square a couple of weeks ago. They put paint all over that one. And again, I'm not encouraging anybody to do anything, even though George Floyd is about as deserving of a statue as Charles Manson. Point is, the other side has had a little bit of retribution. A
little bit. Well, whoever that was, they never caught that guy.
It was Donald Trump.
Don Jr.
Yeah, Bobby Jr., that's right.
Listen, we'll get into a lot more stuff. The Waukesha, the Kyle Rittenhouse interview, and also my emergency room in Long Beach making national news, being closed down because of Kathy Hochul's vaccine mandate.
Where it began, I can't begin to knowin', but then I know it's growing strong. Wasn't the spring, and spring became the summer.
Would this is a big bar mitzvah song.
Yeah, I know. Don't be afraid to jump in.
Every single bar mitzvah I've ever been to, this song plays.
Really?
Every single one.
It's huge. Touching hands. Come on. Pete Morgan, jump in here. Bernard, Luke.
This reaching is out.
Oh, come on, Justin.
What are they
take
doing,
it
Justin?
Away. Go ahead, go.
Touching me.
It's a Cuomo song.
Touching you.
Sweet Caroline.
Nice.
There you go.
I hate to say it, but he wrote this about Caroline Kennedy when she was a minor.
That's true. That's a true story,
just,
folks.
I hate to be the turd right. in the punch bowl here, well, but have a good time. Go
that's
ahead,
for
folks.
The folks
have a great time.
In Boston, in Fenway Park, we sing that song after every game. Anyway, the song was mentioned earlier, so we played it here. Nice job. This time, every Tuesday morning, we talk to a man who spent the better part of three decades serving as one of the greatest cops in the history of New York City. He's gone on to become a tremendous actor. I mean, really, really great. Irishman, Wolf of Wall Street, Goodfellas. Shows like Gravesend, Godfather of Harlem, just a great actor. And most importantly, for the better part of three decades, a dear friend of both me and Bernie, and Pete Morgan, for that matter. Here he is, the great Bo Deedle, on this Tuesday before Thanksgiving. Good morning, Bo.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Pete. Big good Bo. To hear from you. Yeah, so, you know, I tell you what you were talking about with these songs, you know, you like to make yourself feel good a little bit. You know, I was watching the TV last night, and I saw the new Christmas shopping of 2021. Just go to any store you want, rip off whatever you want, and you don't even have to go online anymore. Just go to the store and go Christmas shopping.
It's nice.
It's coming to Madison Avenue and Fifth Avenue, and no one's going to stop them. And the criminals are in control, and nobody's being held accountable. Then you get this skank AOC, more bail reform? Come on. This other punk down there in Wascushka, wherever that is, in Wisconsin, convicted sex offender, 50 pages. One was passed July 24th. He fired a gun at his cousin. I mean, at what point do you stop these creeps? At what point do you stop? But then when a cop gets into a shooting, a good shooting, everyone's up in arms and say, why did you shoot the guy? He wasn't shooting at you. So in other words, the cops have to wait for the guy to shoot at you before you can shoot them. And that's what the job is right now. It's depressing, very depressing.
It is, and you know the name, Bo Deedle. George Soros funded a lot of these DAs, even here in New York. I believe the Bronx DA, Darcell Clark, the guy out in Brooklyn, whatever his name is, Rodriguez, I don't know. But it's George Soros. It's, again, I don't know what he's trying to do, what they're trying to do. I mean, who gets victimized but black people mostly in the inner cities because of these lenient laws, no cash bail laws, et cetera.
And he's a disgrace. You know, my other half is half Hungarian, Margot. And he's a disgrace to the good Hungarian people because they're a good people. I was in Hungary, and I'm telling you something. Respectful, wonderful country, the president of Hungary, they don't allow any of these people influxing into the country. It's a great country. Then you have a scab like this old scab that's still drooling at his mouth, and this Soros, what a punk he is. And you know, want to know something? His family should become the victims of these criminal activities. Then he'd have a different outlook on this whole thing. Everybody wants to save everybody until you become a victim. And that's the way it is. It's crazy, crazy, crazy. And now what's going on is you got Bill de Blasio, right? They're taking down the statue of Thomas Jefferson. And I heard, you know what I heard? They're putting the statue up there. A friggin' Big Bird. That's what they're putting up there at City Hall in honor of de Blasio, moron.
Maybe Jacob Blake. Who knows?
Could be one of those guys.
You know, I've been watching this with these new infrastructure bills, construction and all that. So whenever these bills come, now we're talking about $1.2 to $3 trillion, whatever it is. A lot of people don't realize, of these bills, say if they allot $10 billion for a certain project, One third of that is corruption and waste. There is no safeguards for all this money. There's no inspector general that can say, all right, I'm going to give you $1 billion for this project, $10 billion for that. Why isn't there safeguards? So there's one third of this money is robbed, corruption, and waste. And I've been around these projects. They have companies like Cohen Resnick, I do work for, where they check. So if you say you got 100 guys working, you actually check that they have these people on board. This is the biggest scam in the world. Now they're giving free money to these construction companies that are going to rip and rob, and no one's checking on this. And I'm calling out to the United States Congress, you want to throw money around? Let's make sure it's used properly. That's the biggest thing. Corruption and waste on these projects is the biggest culprit.
Absolutely. Do we trust these people who can't get anything right to spend this amount of money? Do we trust them to spend to do anything right? But again, to squander all this money that's only going to result in inflation. And you had Biden yesterday, Bo Dietl. He's actually going to come out today because of the price of gas. He's going to release oil from the strategic oil reserves, the stuff that we need in emergencies, in case of war, in case of, you know, the only time they did it here was the Gulf War, Hurricane Katrina, because that's where all the refineries were down there, and there was a supply problem. And one other time during the Obama administration, they're going to release oil, so we're going to squander that. And if there is a real emergency, we're going to have nothing.
If he only had a brain, he could walk back his decision on the pipeline out of Canada, open the pipelines up until we get our feet on the ground. Look, I'm for a healthy environment and all that. But when you got India and China laughing the hell out of us, and now we're trying to do this and we're starving for oil, now we got to beg the Abu Dhabi dudes over there in Saudi Arabia for them to give us oil. We were self-sufficient. What he should do is walk it back, open the pipelines up, and then we'll have enough oil that we could be self-servant. We don't need to kiss anybody's butt. But he won't do that because all the people around him are full throttle about this green. Oh, I'm for a greener America, but let's not do it overnight. Let's do it slowly so we can ease into it where people don't lose their jobs, retrain them for the green jobs. I mean, there's a way of doing something. You just don't slice a guy's head off and say, now you can't talk anymore. This is getting so ridiculous. And on that note, too, last night I watched that whole interview with Tucker Carlson, with this Rittenhouse kid, Kyle. I mean, I implore everybody to listen to the trial and watch the trial. I watched it. I mean, this is a hands-down self-defense thing. But in reality, the news media, he should sue CNN, this kid Rittenhouse. He should sue these MSNBC and sue them, and he should become the head of CNN right now. Because this is criminal. Criminal, criminal.
And he's going to.
Joe Biden.
He's going to sue everybody like the kid Sandman did. Hey, listen, on the way out, you had joked around months ago, Bo, that when you and I go to L.A. to film Gemini Lounge, that be prepared, Sid, to wear a wig. Well, as it turns out, you were right. I'm playing the part of Roy DeMeo's cousin, who weighed about 80 pounds soaking wet, was pale as a ghost, worse than Bela Lugosi, and had gray hair. So makeup is going to have a hard time with me, Bo.
I was talking to Danny A. First of all, we didn't have too many shade head ball guys back in that era. There wasn't too many guys shaving their heads. They had the little collar around the back, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The long hair. So I said the only way that Sid could do this is if Sid wears a wig. I'm picking one out for you, Sid. It's going to have, like, long hair on the side with bald on top.
Bo!
That's out, brother.
Come on!
And you're going to be training for a half marathon, so you will lose weight and become somewhat skinny and gaunt.
Skinnier. Yeah. I'm not going to be gaunt.
But then, if this is important, we're going to put bigger clothes on you.
Right.
Bigger clothes. Maybe you'll wear like a jogging suit so you can't see those big biceps. And we got to tone you. And then you got to stay out of the tan. No, we don't even care about that. We'll throw that white makeup on. Oh. You'll look like all your blood was drained out of you.
Yeah. You know what? I can't wait. I can't wait to have dinner with you in Los Angeles when we do film that together. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
We're going to have a good time, and I'm going to let you guys know. I don't know if you're working the week of the 22nd. I'm going to have a party, a Christmas party, and it's a Wednesday.
It's I'll back?
I love you guys. Yeah, Christmas party back. I can't tell you where, but I'll let you know.
Okay.
A little festive time right before Christmas and all through the house. We'll drink like animals, and that will be
Well, let me just say this, Bo, and I mean this sincerely. Sweet. We love you. Another great, great appearance. Every year, and Bernie could attest to this better than anybody, I almost got fired every year the day after Bo Dietl's Christmas party.
Absolutely.
When I owned Tens, the Topless Club, did you come there?
Oh, I love that place, but no, I started at Sparks, and it was a disaster. It was the best time ever. It was the best time ever. Ever.
We used to have Johnny Maestro on the Brooklyn Bridge. He took the pipe. He's dead. The Bell Vikings, all those guys are dead. Everybody's friggin' dead. The only ones that are alive are the friggin' criminals. Madison Avenue is gonna be a shopping mall very soon for free. Go to Madison Avenue, you want Gucci, whatever you want. Just walk in the store, take it. Nobody's gonna stop.
You're right. So about Gucci, thank you again, Bo. Your friend Al Pacino is in that new movie with Lady Gaga playing Gucci. Put on some weight. She looks better, actually. Did you see the coming attractions?
I have not, no.
Yeah, it looks good.
Well, I do know that Sunday night, I believe, she's going to be performing.
Yes.
I guess they taped this a couple of months ago.
It is taped.
With Tony Bennett.
Yes.
His last his farewell performance. He has Alzheimer's and...
terrible. Adele actually sat down for an interview yesterday, the day before, and the guy admitted he hadn't listened to her album yet. She stood up and walked out.
Yeah, like I heard that.
You know,
yeah.
Like you and I occasionally go, we haven't read the book yet. The guys still stick around.
I don't blame her. I mean, look, if you're going to be doing business with Adele before you sit down, listen to her album.
Okay.
I mean, if you're going
to... I thought it was douchey. We've admitted to guests we didn't read their books yet. They don't just leave.
Yeah, but this is a little different.
It's different, okay.
I think.
All right. 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. Lydia reports handing out knapsacks to the homeless with Tony Usso. And an author, There's No Free Lunch, David Bonson. All coming up. But first, more of Neil Diamond. Sweet Caroline. Hazy shade of winter. The Bengals. Lesson zero. It's got a text. Very excited about the Staten Island baseball team this year. Gary Perone. Congratulations to Gary Perone. We took him out of the exile that was Steve Cohen and the Brooklyn Cyclones. He's now in charge of our Staten Island baseball team. He says, I used to sing Sweet Caroline at the end of Brooklyn games. What should I sing now? At the end of the Staten Island baseball game.
Another challenge, another creative challenge for you and I, Sydney.
I'm not into it right now. I'll get back to you later. Scott's in Connecticut on line three. Good morning, Scott. How are you?
Hey, Sid, you're making me look funny. I'll tell you. I hear a song that I haven't heard in a long time, and then I add it to my playlist. I'm like, oh, I want to hear the full song.
Right.
Then I got this playlist now on my phone, and I play it at work on the beach speaker, and people look at me like, what's wrong with you? So now I just added Sweet Caroline and Copacabana. So if you start with the polkas, I'm done.
Oh, that's funny. Thank you very much. I'm glad you're doing all that. Builds character, like Bernie always says.
No doubt.
No doubt. LeBron James, Enos Kanter, using my name to help himself.
The feud is escalating.
You like that?
Escalating. Look for an elbow next time they meet from the dirty playing LeBron James against the principled Enos Kanter.
Well, he will not be on the court tonight, LeBron, as the Lakers visit our Knicks at Madison Square Garden. He has been suspended. The second half of this great Tuesday edition of Bernie and Sid with a couple of great guests. comes your way.
Going anywhere. You know, the dance version to this song is terrific. It's absolutely, you talk about, I'm sure they played it at bar mitzvahs and weddings and everything. I just love this song. It was his Journey. This is the guy that you,
not his Journey,
you and I interviewed, the
Steve Perry.
Steve Perry,
yeah.
Exactly right.
Yep.
Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show, heard everywhere on the 77 WABC app, ladies and gentlemen. Download that app. You want some truth, justice, and some laughs here on the Bernie and Sid. Also, simulcast out on Eastern Long Island, News Talk 107.1 FM. And live stream at WABCRadio.tv on your smart TVs, your computers. You can watch us, WABCRadio.tv. I mentioned earlier about the, this has reached home. This has touched me. These vaccine mandate madness. My local emergency room has been shut down. The hospital was first shut down after Hurricane Sandy, but they maintained an emergency room in Long Beach because we need one. You know, the other one is a half hour away. First of all, you have to make your way to the emergency room, and then from there, it's a half hour away to the next available emergency room, and that depends on traffic. But you have this report from Channel 2. I mean, this is like big news all over the country. They led with it last night on all the local newscasts. This is, I believe, WCBS. Take a listen.
Good evening. I'm Dana Tyler. We start tonight on Long Island, where a hospital has been forced to shut down a satellite emergency room because of a staffing shortage. CBS 2's Carolyn Gusoff is live at Mount Sinai, South Nassau, in Long Beach with the story. Carolyn?
Dana, good evening. I've been watching crews all evening covering up and taking down emergency room signs. And in their place, this sign, this place is temporarily closed. Vaccine hesitancy having a direct impact today on healthcare in Long Beach.
See
as
the way they describe it? Let's just shut up. Listen, you see the way the vaccine hesitancy? No. Overreaching authoritarian government edicts having an effect on public health. I mean, they tell you this is for your own good. This is for your own good, for your own safety. And meanwhile, you can't get treatment in your local neighborhood. And mine is the first neighborhood in the country to have an emergency room shut down.
Wow.
And believe me, I took my dad there once for, he had a heart attack a few years ago on Christmas night. So just imagine too, they're going to post one ambulance outside the emergency room. And check this out. Just hypothetically, you have, it's a Saturday night. Let's say it starts off at 9 o'clock. You have Joe Dirt ODs. he ODs on opioids. He shows up at the emergency room, that one ambulance. Okay, get in the ambulance, Joe Dirt. And they take him up to, the other joint up in Northern Oceanside, a half hour away. Then you have Homie the Clown shows up, and he's got a gunshot wound. And now Homie the Clown is sitting there saying, "Where's the ambulance? I got to get up." He spent his last buck on the Lyft driver to get him there.
Plus he's bleeding to death.
The Uber car, he's driving to death. Now I show up with my old man in the heart attack.
Oh boy!
And Homie the Clown is like, "No, I'm next. I'm getting on that ambulance next." And I'm like, "God, my dad just had." So this is Kathy Hochul. This is the Democrats. Everything they touch turns to garbage. They ruin everything. They try to do too much. Stay the hell out of our lives. We can take care of it. These nurses, these healthcare workers worked all through the pandemic. No problem. They made it just fine. And now you're firing them and you're causing hospital emergency rooms to close. And the first one to close is in my neighborhood. This is so it's touching home. It's touching home. And none other than Kamala Harris, the worst vice president in the history of vice presidents in the United States. This woman who slept her way to the top, who was only picked because she's a woman, because she's black. She's completely incompetent, stupid. She constantly plays the race card. Talking about health care, this is what she said yesterday. Take a listen.
Our nation must invest in a health care workforce that looks like America and provide access to equitable health care for all Americans. So today I am proud to announce, thanks to our American Rescue Plan.
So the bottom line, she's going to use money for the American Rescue Plan. we need a healthcare system that looks like America. I'm sorry. I want the best. I don't care what you look like as long as you can save my life.
Of course.
I just don't care. I don't want quotas. I don't want any of this forcing people. Not when it comes to flying planes or the medical profession. Stop with that crap. I want some, a grizzled old Jewish doctor operating on me, or some grizzled old Irish doctor, or whatever the hell it might be.
Black doctor?
Or it could be black as well, as long as he's the best. Not this crap.
They keep doing this. They just keep doing this. Give us a black guy. Give us a gay guy. Enough. Enough.
Enough is
it's nauseating.
Absolutely
Who
right.
Who likes this? You know, I got to tell you, I was watching Dancing with the Stars last night. Calm down. I like the show. It's great.
Iman Schumpert.
He did a good job. He danced well last night, the former Knickerbocker.
I believe he won the Mirror Bowl trophy.
He did. He won the trophy last night, and he's won an NBA championship, too, with LeBron James. So he's the only guy to ever do that, NBA championship and a Dancing with the Stars trophy. But this JoJo Sliwa, she's a cute kid, you know, and she's a tremendous dancer. Brother, the show is stupid. Iman Schumpert did a good job for a basketball player. But, like, JoJo Sliwa was 1,000 times better. Everybody was better, but he still won. So she dances with her partner, and her partner is a female. She's outwardly gay. And she puts on this amazing dance. She got a deserved 40, 4 perfect scores, including your boy Len, who you love so much.
I'll give it a nice 2 here. I didn't like the way you turned around and put your butt up in the air, but other than that, it was flawless.
Perfect. So him and Carrie Ann, and Derek Hough has COVID. He got the breakthrough. So Tyra Banks has to spend the first 10 minutes of the show telling us about that, but he's okay, as if he wasn't going to be okay. And, of course, the other guy, Bruno, he's annoying. But point being, she finishes the dance, she gets all these great marks, and they go, "How do you feel?" And she said, "Well, I feel great because I am dancing for all of the LGBTQFHIJKLMNOP. Instead of saying, thank you, I danced great, she made the whole thing about her being a lesbian and her girlfriend. And I have to tell you, I got nauseous and I shut it off. I was enjoying it up to that point. I like the kid from Peloton.
You know,
he's good.
I think I was the one who broke the news to you that Iman Schumpert won the Mirror Bowl trophy. I can tell by the way you reacted. You did turn it off.
I turned it off.
Yeah.
I didn't see him win. I found out about it later, but I turned it off.
By the way, so they have two lesbians dancing together. Okay.
Right.
Have they had two gay guys dancing yet together?
I don't know the answer.
For some reason or other, I think they're avoiding that. I don't know why.
Yeah, because what's his name's gay? The kid from Peloton, Corey Rigsby. He's good, by the way. Very, very good. In fact, he one of Danielle's classes. She takes on Peloton. He's the instructor.
My wife and my daughter, they both.
So I guarantee you, Carol and your daughter, they know Corey Rigsby.
Oh, I know they do, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So he's gay. He danced last night, but he danced with a female. He wasn't dancing with a guy. So to your point, I think the answer is no. But the two girls, she made the whole thing about that. This goes back to Kamala Harris. I don't care. I don't care.
Exactly.
I'm nauseous about it already. I don't care. It's not making the world a better place. I don't feel like the world today is a better place than when I grew up, when everybody hated everybody. I got to be honest.
Yep.
I don't.
Hey, listen, please, I'm begging you. Again, let's get past, you know, the color of people's skin, their gender preference, all that stuff. We're all Americans, bottom line, and let's base everything else on merit.
That's it.
And that's it.
If you're good, you're good. I don't care.
Bottom line. So last night, this Kyle Rittenhouse, the big interview, interested to see the numbers on the Tucker Carlson show. He sat down, and whatever doubt you may have had about Kyle Rittenhouse, I think were dispelled last night. He's a very, very nice, young, respectful kid. Certainly no wild-eyed lunatic mass shooter running around the streets of Kenosha looking to kill people.
By the way, he is a perfect contestant for next year's Dancing with the Stars. I'm serious.
They don't have the – they would never.
Never?
Not in a million years. No, okay. Especially not at this point. Who knows what might happen. Maybe the country's changing. And that would be one hell of a turnaround, because I swear, if they didn't have these online journalists on the ground videotaping the way they did, there was no CNN, there was no MSN, there was no Fox even on the ground.
No.
There were these online journalists, Julio Rojas, Drew Hernandez, people from the Daily Caller, townhall.com, et cetera, et cetera. They saved this kid's life, because otherwise we thought he was everything they said, a white supremacist, crazy vigilante lunatic. When nothing could have been further from the truth. Here he is last night. He's talking about how he was out there to help people when the crazy child rapist tried to attack him. Take a listen.
The first time I saw Rosenbaum was the first time he threatened to kill me. It was at the corner of the CarSource lot that I was at primarily that night, and I was asking people if they needed medical, and he came up to me and Ryan Balch, and he said, if I catch any of you MFers alone, I'm going to effing kill you. It was quite shocking. I was like, why would somebody threaten to kill me? I'm just asking if people need help on both sides. I was there just to help anybody that needed it. And shockingly, the only people I helped that night were rioters.
He helped rioters. He had a medical bag. He was putting out fires. He spent hours cleaning graffiti off a wall. He was videotaped doing that, by the way. And so the kid went a long way towards rehabilitating his image, said that he had to do that, but he did last night. You cannot come away from watching this interview without thinking this kid did the right thing. He was a good kid. I would have advised my son not to go to Kenosha.
Right.
Me, myself, I would have went if I was 17 years old, because that's what 17
years... You wouldn't have gone because you don't have a gun. Well, you still don't have a gun.
He didn't have a gun either. Somebody gave him a gun. Somebody give me a gun and say, go to Kenosha and protect... I would have went. I mean, that's what teenagers do. They look for adventure and to do wild stuff.
I mean, that's not up for the... We could debate all day about that. I also think him going was stupid, irresponsible, and he almost got what he was looking for. Thank God he survived. But that's not
What was he looking for?
Trouble. He was looking for trouble.
He was low. He's looking to protect business.
Yeah, okay, fine. He's looking for trouble. That's my opinion. You're looking for business. But in the end, that's not important. Why he went, should he have been there? It's, was he defending himself? And the answer is yes.
Yes.
That's it.
So he was protecting the CarSource a lot, as he said there. And
he's walking up and down the streets with a gun.
Gage Grosskreutz crossed state lines with a pistol, and he's a convicted felon.
I'm not defending any of these people. I don't want to see any of that. So I don't be consistent about that. But it doesn't matter. He's innocent of the crime he was accused of.
And the demented piece of crap that night, this went down, that he shot the three felons, the lowlifes, the scumbags who deserved to be shot, and the two of them are not on the face of the earth, and good riddance to both of you. He called this kid a white supremacist. Joe Biden did, put it out in a tweet, actually. On the air, he called him a white nationalist or something like that.
Yeah.
So anyway, he said this about perhaps suing or whatever, or
that.
Joe Biden calling him a white supremacist. Listen to the way Kyle Rittenhouse characterized the whole thing.
Mr. President, if I could say one thing to you, I would urge you to go back and watch the trial and understand the facts before you make a statement. It's actual malice defaming my character for him to say something like that. It's actually quite hysterical how nobody can go back and look at the facts of the case. He crossed state lines, false. He's a white supremacist, false. None of that is true.
So you hear him, he's talking in legalese. He's got the lawyers cocked and loaded and ready to go, ready to fire.
Well, you made a great point earlier, which you need to make again.
To use a gun metaphor.
Yes. You made a great point earlier, which you need to make it again. When it comes to suing the president, he can do this. Why?
Because the president made those comments as a private citizen.
Bang.
Before the election.
That's hot.
And, yeah, it's true. It is very, very true, which is why, for example, Paula Jones was able to sue Bill Clinton. Because he wasn't president when he did to her what he did, you know, took his thing out in the hotel room and asked her to kiss it.
Right.
He was governor at the time, not president. Well, while you're president, you can do things and invoke certain privileges and not be sued. In this case, that doesn't apply. So, Joe Biden, you better lawyer up there, punk, because there's a kid coming after you. Him and the other kid, Nicholas Sandman, as I mentioned yesterday, the meme going around on social media is that they're going to have joint custody of CNN and MSNBC. And I would say, I would posit also Joe Biden's Delaware mansion as well, and maybe the beach house.
I like what I'm hearing. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. A trio of greats, Bernie McGurk, Pete Morgan, and Sid Rosenberg in studio today. Lydia Reports is coming up next, and still to come, we've got a big-time author coming on, David Bonson. His book is There's No Free Lunch, 250 Economic Truths. A very interesting conversation coming your way at 9. And then Tony Asso, handing out backpacks and knapsacks to the homeless on the streets here in New York City. He's coming up at 9:25. And Beat Bernie coming up at 9:40. Lots of action still to come on this, the Tuesday edition, the pre-Thanksgiving Day edition of Bernie and Sid, right here on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Today's Lydia Reports on 77 WABC. Here's Lydia Serrani.
Well, as you just heard, Deb Valentine report as breaking news, you have the Biden administration. They will be tapping into the strategic oil reserve. They want to release about 50 million barrels in order to lower energy prices. Here's the thing, guys. That'll only last like a couple of days. This strategic oil reserve was established in 1973. This was done out of political conflict with Arab countries and trade embargoes that would compromise the United States security position, also in times of disaster like war or if we have hurricanes. A good example of this was when we released oil during Hurricane Katrina when there was damage to the Gulf of Mexico region. And then, of course, back in 2011, President Obama, he released 30 million barrels, leaving about 697 million barrels in the reserve. And this was also done in an effort to neutralize the spike in fuel prices. Once again, here we are. Basically the same administration. When are these people going to learn that this is all self-imposed? When we shut down the XL pipeline, that was Biden's first executive order. John Catsimatidis stood outside of WABC studios, had a press conference, right? And he told everybody, listen, by doing this, you're going to see prices skyrocket, not just on oil and gas and everything, anything that has to be transported. And it's what we're seeing. So clearly this inflation is not temporary. It's not transitory, that fancy word that Democrats like to use. It's here to stay. And although this tapping into it will kind of ease prices through the holidays, I can guarantee you come January 1st, if it lasts even in through Christmas, we're going to see prices spike again. What are we doing? We had the pipeline. They wanted to even shut down Line 5 in Michigan. Governor Whitmer was all about it. This is all being purposely done to force our hand to go green in order to then profit China. I mean, you have to wonder, what is this really all about? And usually when they say it's not about the money, it's all about the money.
Well said, Lydia Serrani. Look, it's suicide. We're committing suicide. It's so stupid. This is the thing to tap into the strategic oil reserves is so irresponsible. I mean, it's, as you point out, meant for emergencies, not for to lower the price a nickel a gallon for about 6 days, which is not nearly going to last till Christmas. It's so stupid. It's just the show that we're doing something. We're trying to do something. But as you point out, there's a lot of things they can do to really the root cause of the problem, which is what they did early on in the administration and they refuse to do now. And yes, all this green crap that they're going to force down your throats, it should come from private enterprise, not from the government on down. And then, of course, you tie in what happened with Hunter Biden using his firm to help sell that cobalt mine in the Congo to the Chinese, that cobalt being used to make electric car batteries. It makes you wonder, it is all about the money, isn't it, Lydia?
It has to be. It has to be all about the money, because if they being the Biden administration, if they really cared about the environment and wanted us to go green, hey, I'm all for it. First of all, that's under debate whether or not it's cleaner, more efficient energy. But wouldn't we implement a structure in place here in the United States? Make sure that's in place. Have all these factories that build the electric cars and the batteries and the minerals and all of that set in place, and then make the transition.
Right.
Instead, they're making the country go down into a spiral. I mean, I am freaking out because I have forced air. I have an HVAC. I heard it going on and off today. And I was like, oh my God, our energy prices, our bill is going to be double. And people are in for it. I mean, I am scared when I get that first bill after this cold snap that we're experiencing. And that's when people are really going to realize just what a buffoon Biden is, what a mistake it was to put him in. And they're really going to miss those mean tweets. That's it. I miss the mean tweets because it's people like me, my friends, the white suburban moms that put Biden into the White House because we voted with our heart and our gut because we didn't like him. He's sexist. Instead of voting with our brains and what's best for our country, what's best for our children, what's best for our pocketbooks.
Again, so well said. Look, the price of oil. We're sitting here with the gentleman that runs Peerless Boilers. The price of oil is going to go is going up 50% this winter. 50% if you have used natural gas, I think the percentage is up like 30 to 35%, something like that. I mean, it's just absolutely again suicide and you know, lowering the quality of life for the average American. These people just don't care about you. They have contempt. They're going to shove their stupid little agenda because the little the dummy AOC and these creeps, these loudmouths in Congress, these racist squad members, they want it so bad that they're running the Democrat Party and they're running this country into the ground in the meantime. They're going to lose in the elections because of it, but they're going to shove it through in the meantime. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. And again, we just have to follow the money and see where the interests are. Because if you honestly think that the Biden administration cares about the environment and cares about your kids or cares anything about you, then you're out of your mind. Politicians, they don't care. And my dad, he's a small time landlord. We were just talking. And of course, they use oil in the building. Those prices are going to skyrocket. Yet everybody's rent stays the same, you know, 0% rent increase. It's such a ripple effect from the price of milk to the, you know, your energy bill to filling up your gas tank. And this was all self-imposed. It's one thing if it was a natural disaster or if we were at war. We're at war with ourselves. And it's the Biden administration that is basically waging war on America, because every single move he makes, China benefits, Russia benefits, and America loses. And we'll talk more about this, no doubt, from the oil expert himself. And he's very humble. He doesn't like to say he's an oil expert, but John Katsimatidis knows this topic inside and out, down to the very number of the barrel. I look at him sometimes, I'm like, how does this guy know all of this off the top of his head? So you'll hear all about this and what a mistake it is. You'll also hear from Alan Dershowitz. Of course, we'll be talking more about Kyle Rittenhouse. We'll talk about what happened in Waukesha in Wisconsin, that psychomaniac mowing down those people, and why he, I believe, should be charged with domestic terrorism.
Other than that, it's going to be a great Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Thank you, Lydia. As always,
everybody.
Thank you. Great job, Lydia. Go to follow Lydia. It is worth pointing out on Instagram at LydiaNews1 and on Twitter at LydiaNews. And of course, like she said, 5 o'clock alongside John Katsimatidis.
Gotta love it, folks.
And when the band plays Hail to the Chief, ooh, that point the cannon at you, no. It ain't me.
Nuh-uh.
It ain't me. I ain't no senator song.
Nuh-uh. Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show, heard everywhere on that 77 WABC app, simulcast out on Eastern Long Island News Talk 107.1 FM. Also, live stream, WABCradio.tv. On your smart TVs, folks, on your computers, WABCradio.tv. So I got my MRI yesterday, Sydney, and it was like, well, it was like being in a straitjacket.
Yeah.
Or sort of a coffin, I kind of imagined there for a little bit what it might be like. But, you know, you lay there and you play mind tricks on yourself, and you get through it. For me, it was a half hour, and I was in and out. A lot of people can't handle that. By nature, I'm claustrophobic.
I hate it. But you're going for a very, very important reason.
Yeah.
Folks kept asking me yesterday, why is Bernie going for an MRI?
Who kept asking you?
Folks.
Oh, folks, yes.
Actually, a guy named Mike in the gym, Mike out of the Bronx, and there were others, Danielle. And I said, I believe he's going for an MRI to see if, in fact, he's going to need a biopsy.
Let's see if it's the chances that I have prostate cancer, to be quite honest with you, to be quite frank with you. It could be just prostatitis, which, you know, from what I've read, can last up to 3 months. It's miserable, but at least it's not a life sentence. It goes away after a while.
Right.
And that's probably what it is. I don't know, but we're going to find. That's what the whole MRI thing was about. But while I was in the waiting room for the MRI, and you see every day I get this Wall Street Journal, right?
Yes.
And you probably think, yeah, he gets the Wall Street Journal, Mr. Smart Guy. And I pay for it myself, but he never reads it. You probably think that, right? You would be right to think that.
Yeah, I guess I did think that.
I mean, I don't have time to read the Wall Street Journal. I got so much else to read. But in the waiting room, I did read the Wall Street Journal.
Yesterday. Oh, you did?
I did. And on the op-ed page, there was this woman who is a doctoral student in political science. She's from China, Habi Zhang. And she wrote an op-ed called "The Coddling of American Children is a Boon to Beijing." And she talked about here, she said that her son, when she was in China, her son, this is what she wrote, where he trotted off to school each day with a backpack stuffed with thick textbooks and materials for practices and quizzes. Here, he leaves for school with little in his backpack other than a required healthy snack.
Yep.
And then she says, on Friday night, my son came home announcing in bewilderment that he didn't have any homework. In China, students tend to receive twice as much homework on the weekend, given the 2 days to complete it. How will America compete with a China determined to train the best mathematicians, scientists, and engineers? And she goes on. She writes a great column about all that. You know, about colleges talking about fabricating anxiety and depression when really, at best, you know, it's minor disappointments that they're suffering through. Get over it. She concludes by writing this. Chinese citizens enjoy mocking the Western snowflakes. Mm. Less amusing is what this trend means for the United States as China no longer hides its enmity, its hatred for America. As I translate a word for people.
Very
good.
Are
you New York City public school students out there?
My daughter is one of those public school students. She's applying to about 25 colleges. One of the schools she's applying to is UC Davis, part of the University of California system. And they're in the news this morning because they've decided that specific school, UC Davis, to defund the campus police. So I can't wait to have this conversation with Ava at tonight's dinner table.
Didn't they do that up in
Berkeley?
No. The up in Columbia. What was it? The girl got killed.
Yeah, Columbia.
When she was buying pot.
Yes.
Remember?
Yes, Tessa. Tessa Majors.
Tessa Majors, right. Yeah. They defunded the police there.
Yeah, yeah.
And it ended up in her death.
That's true.
She couldn't find a cop.
That's true.
That's a good idea. Defund the police. It's working out real well across the country right now. But by the way, and not to sound too, I happen to be reading a book right now called Rescuing Socrates, and this Dominican immigrant wrote it about the classic literature and how it plays liberal arts and blah, 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 whatever. Either way, the point is this. When I say New York City public schools, he was in a gifted and talented program, and he says that made all the difference in the world, and I'm sure your daughter Ava is as well. He said the rest of the school, it was like a school within a school. The rest of the school where he went to school in Corona, Queens, was like a bunch of wild adolescents who he was afraid of.
Right.
And if it wasn't for the fact that he was put in this gifted and talented school, he then went on to Columbia University, et cetera, et cetera. He wouldn't be the man he is today, writing books called Rescuing Socrates. So when I say these public school students, I'm not talking about your daughter Ava or him. I'm talking about the general.
The majority. Of course.
I used to know a kid at the gym. Believe it or not, he worked at the New York Sports Club. And he went to Taft High School up in the Bronx. And he told me that the acronym they used for themselves for Taft High School was Training Animals for Tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he told me that they call themselves, this kid at the New York Sports Club. So, anyway, I thought that was interesting. China is kicking our butts, and we're doing nothing about it. We're just sucking our thumbs. And listen, here in New York, in the United States,
we do something about it. We have a bunch of African-American people that beat the Chinese up quite a bit in this city because they're angry.
Very good.
Right. That's payback right there. How about that?
Right, you are.
You want to get A's in math? And boom, take this.
One last thing on the Rittenhouse. Last thing, all these actors and, these social justice warrior Hollywood types who are insulated from any consequences of anything they write on social media. Mark Ruffalo, he wrote this after Rittenhouse was acquitted. We come together to mourn the lives lost to the same racist system that devalues black lives and devalued the lives of Anthony and JoJo.
JoJo.
Who's JoJo? JoJo is Joseph Rosenbaum, the child rapist who screamed at Kyle Rittenhouse, I'm going to kill you, N-word. I'm going to kill you, N-word, N-word, N-word. So he's defending a child rapist and a guy who uses racial slurs. And so Don Trump Jr. tweets out, This is the left using cutesy nicknames for multiple child molesters. JoJo is a POS pedophile who sexually assaulted five young boys. But he's really a good dude who just misunderstood. Yeah. And then he writes, F these people, Don Trump Jr. So the time for fun and games is over. We got to fight these idiots, at least in my opinion, left and right. And the same day that Rittenhouse was acquitted, Jalen Rose.
Another idiot.
I played Jonathan Carl from Friday as well. Jacob Blake was killed, and that's why they had these social justice protests. Excuse me, they were riots.
Jalen Rose went to Michigan, too. So just when you thought, that's a great school. That is a great academic institution. But I imagine that team that he was on with Ray King and Juwan Howard and Chris Webber and the rest of those guys, none of those guys went on to become neurosurgeons.
Hardly. So anyway, here's Jalen Rose on the court on Friday night at some basketball game, ESPN. Jalen Rose talking about, well, why? But anyway, talking about the Rittenhouse acquittal in Michigan. Take a listen.
Here's the thing. The Black Lives Matter protest was actually taking place because Jacob Blake was shot and killed by police officers.
Of course, I meant Wisconsin, but yeah, he was shot and killed by police officers. Okay, stupid. But the problem is, a lot of these morons watching, they believe him.
Yeah.
They believe that
stuff. They convinced me. I actually made the same mistake a couple of days ago. It doesn't matter. It doesn't change my opinion on the whole situation. I believe that was the Lakers-Celtic game he was at, right?
Probably was.
Yes.
Probably was.
Yes.
And speaking of which, LeBron James is going to be at the Garden tonight, suspended one game for elbowing the Piston.
Isaiah Stewart.
Broke his face wide open. It was unbelievable. But either way, Enes Kanter has been needling LeBron over his spineless position on China. Same thing with Adam Silver and all these guys. They won't put their money where their mouth is when it comes to China. But anyway, LeBron shot back against Enes Kanter by saying this.
LeBron, do you have any reaction to Enes Kanter using your likeness on his shoes in his advocacy for human rights?
No, I think if you know me, I don't really give too many people my energy, he's definitely not someone I will give my energy to, trying to use my name to create, an opportunity for himself. Definitely won't comment too much on that, if any, and that'll be where I lay that at. He's always, kind of had a word or two to say, in my direction. And as men, if you got an issue with somebody, you really come up to him. He had his opportunity tonight. I seen him in the hallway. He walked right by me. So,
Yeah, you should have elbowed him in the face.
Well, no, Venus is the guy talking smack. He should have said something.
Enes, let me just say, I believe Enes is sincere. I think
he cares. Why would he say something then? He's walking down the alley. He's the one talking.
Well, now I think he will.
The opportunity Friday.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Your boy Enes was on CNN this morning rapping with John Berman like their long-lost buddies and said something really stupid, which is Michael Jordan never cared about the black community, which is just factually incorrect. So there are days Enes is good. There are days Enes is bad. He's certainly no hero. He had a chance to speak to LeBron in the hallway Friday night, and he pushed it out.
I was touting the showdown Friday, and nothing happened. You're right.
Yeah.
He completely, totally didn't say anything to LeBron, but hopefully in the future. Keep hope alive.
LeBron will kick his ass,
the season
way.
Is still
just
young.
Just so you know that. Because they have gotten a fight.
I think you hope he would. Sad. I don't know why, but I get that sense. Now, listen, I told you about Malcolm X's daughter died in Brooklyn. She lived in your old neighborhood, Midwood, Brooklyn. That's where she died.
Yeah, I know.
And the fake local news here talks about Malcolm X's daughter dying, but they never give you the whole. They said it was no suspicious circumstances. Why would you even think there were suspicious circumstances? Well, because
I did.
There's a history, and
she was only 56 years old,
and not only that, but here's what they failed to tell you was that her sister was arrested for conspiracy to kill Louis Farrakhan. Now, why was that? Because Louis Farrakhan encouraged people to kill Malcolm X, and he got killed. He got killed, and it was because of Louis Farrakhan, because Malcolm X decided to break from the Nation of Islam and Elijah Muhammad, et cetera, et cetera. And by the way, remember those comments that I read from Malcolm X about the black, about blacks, white liberals not being the friend of blacks?
Yeah.
I didn't realize it at the time, but it's actually on audio tape.
Oh.
This is what Malcolm X said.
The white liberal differs from the white conservative only in one way. The liberal is more deceitful, more hypocritical than the conservative. Both want power, but the white liberal is the one who has perfected the art of posing as the Negro's friend and benefactor. And by winning the friendship and support of the Negro, the white liberal is able to use the Negro as a pawn or a weapon in this political football game that is constantly raging between the white liberals and the white conservatives. The American Negro is nothing but a political football, and the white liberals control this ball through tricks or tokenism, false promises of integration and civil rights.
And he was murdered very shortly thereafter, very shortly. And the fake local news is protecting Farrakhan by not giving you the full context of the Shabazz daughter's death, is my point here. Last thing I want to do is say that you pointed out earlier, Sydney, there are riots all around the globe over lockdowns, mask mandates, vaccine mandates, etc. And even in Ireland, my own, and Pete Morgan's, our people, my mom and dad came from Ireland, obviously. So anyway, the police, they call them the Garda. They set up a roadblock, and some farmer encounters the police in a roadblock, and it's just hilarious the way the farmer is yelling at the Garda. We fought the British for 800 years, not only to have to fight you. Take a listen.
Okay. Where's your proof of the virus?
Where's my proof?
Yes.
That I don't have proof?
Yes.
Where's your proof that you don't have?
I don't have to prove to you. You're the one that stopped me. If you want to go along with this scam-demic, scam-demic!
Stopped you. You have driven into a Garda checkpoint.
You have no right to be setting up checkpoints.
Where are you going, sir?
None of your business now.
But actually, you're required.
I'm not required under our constitution to do anything you say. We did not fight 800 years for you to start treating us worse than the British army did. Did we?
Sir, just answer the question.
Show me the pandemic. Are you having a laugh?
Oh, my God. That could easily be your father.
Bro, that went on for like 2 minutes. We cut it down. I played it. I got it for Pete Morgan because I knew he would enjoy it.
Pete, did you love that?
Fantastic.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah. The scam-demic!
That was great. Big 9 o'clock hour coming your way. Author David Bonson, his new book is out. There's No Free Lunch. 250 Economic Truths. Tony Oso from JL Blessings. We're handing out knapsacks again this year to the homeless up and down 7th Avenue in the holiday spirit. And Beat Bernie. All that in the 9 o'clock hour. So keep it right here. The Tuesday edition of Bernie and Sid.
Name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Right. Yeah. I man beaten with the tire iron. We want the most, but Jesus, Lord, hear our prayer.
Rumors spread around. Oh, yeah. I saw this song where I heard it last night on television somewhere. Used to love that show, Chew Blood, on HBO. It was one of my favorite shows ever. It's one of the greatest shows ever. Even though I did say that Yellowstone is now the best show on television, and I mean that on Paramount. It is amazing. What is the name of this song?
Lagrange.
That's right. Folks, there's no free lunch. 250 Economic Truths. David Bonson is the author of this book, and here he is making his debut right now on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show. David, happy Thanksgiving. Welcome to the show. How are you, pal?
I'm wonderful. Happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So one of the things I enjoyed about the book was Larry Kudlow's blurb on the back, because Larry's a good friend of ours. He actually used to fill in, believe it or not, David, for me and Bernie when we go on vacation. Then he went to work for Donald Trump. Now he's back at WABC. But he talks about how this book really shows you the difference between the old way of doing economics and the new way of doing economics. And from what I read from you is the new way, absence of free market, free enterprise, could be a bit scary. Tell us the difference, and what about this book will teach people the new economics?
Yeah, I think that the new ideas that markets are not necessary, that we can command and control the economy, that we can make it all nicer, that we can create more social justice. There is nothing new about the idea of central planning being better than risk-taking, better than entrepreneurialism, and what and Larry is a mentor of mine and a dear, dear friend. What he agrees with is the principles I'm putting forward in the book, that in fact, the concept of giving human beings their dignity, their freedom, will always result in the best economic outcome in the end as well.
No question about it. David Bahnsen, he is the author. The book is terrific. There's No Free Lunch, 250 Economic Truths. David, I'm sure you know about this. I read a book called The Mayflower by Nathaniel Philbrick. You know of this example. You write about private property, individual responsibility versus socialism. Now, the pilgrims, the early settlers, they tried collectivism, which is essentially socialism, and it failed miserably. And when they were told, all right, each and every one of you, instead of providing for in the town square for everybody, you get to keep what you make yourself. And it that worked as opposed to the collectivism they experimented with before, and they ate like kings after that.
Well, and the reason why, and this is a big part of the book, is that economics is about human action. Humans are created a certain way, and that's what we call incentives. When we respond to incentives because we're rational, we're innovative, we're creative, and when there is no incentive to improve your quality of life, you're less prone to produce. Now, this is all pretty basic stuff. You and I know this intuitively, and we could talk to a first grader on a playground, and they would agree with us. They would. There's nothing we're saying that would seem illogical to them. The only place where the idea of incentives mattering in economics seems to be lost or disagreed with is in a faculty lounge at an Ivy League school. And so I think that the notion that the pilgrims went through and that many other societies have tried and failed, that we want to give as much freedom as possible to allow for the most incentives. This is the notion of free enterprise. But what the book tries to do is add to that thesis by remembering it's not merely that we get more production, we get a better economy, better profits. It's also that it's the more moral thing to do. It is not immoral to tell somebody, hey, you're not that smart, you're not that good, we want to take care of you. So the productive people are going to do the work over there. You hang back, and we're going to make sure you get, you know, kind of taken care of. It's not that that person is some degenerate loser. Well, it's that they're being stripped of their own dignity. They don't deserve to be a ward of the state.
Sometimes they are a degenerate loser, just so you know. But
no,
you're right.
There can be that, but we have no business promoting it.
You're 100% right. We could not agree more. You know, I was having this discussion last night, I mean that, with a family member about the middle class, David. And the person was saying to me, you know, we go out of our way to what you just spoke about, David, to take care of the poor and give people no incentive to work. Then sometimes we overtax the rich, but let's be honest, they don't feel it because they're rich. And then poor bastards like us, middle class, even upper middle class, we get hammered. And it doesn't matter whether it's a Republican or a Democrat. It doesn't matter. It just seems that's the way the system is set up, to help the poor, tax the rich who don't feel it, and the folks in the middle, us, we get creamed. Is that going to be forever?
Well, no, it's not going to be forever because it isn't sustainable. Eventually, the debt that it takes ends up, I think, becoming unsustainable over time. And that's another really important basic economic truth. When we talk about debt, all we're talking about is future extraction of money from the private sector. We talk like, oh, they can just run up a credit card. No one's paying. Look, it has to be paid. The interest has to be paid. The service of the debt has to be paid. If they wipe away the debt and default on the debt, someone has to lose that capital. So who is that who's going to lose? Well, it's middle class. It's entrepreneurs. It's regular American people. And so we have to remember there's no such thing as a government revenue. They don't have any means of generating revenue other than extracting from the private sector. We could put the tax rate on all of the rich folks at 100%, and they do not have enough money coming in to fund the way they're spending. So government spending has got to be viewed not as a benefit to middle-class people, but as an expense to middle-class people, even if they don't see it immediately.
Man, so smart. The book is There's No
really is.
No Free Lunch. There's No Free Lunch, 250 Economic Truths by David Bahnsen. Yet, David, the name is spelled B-A-H-N-S-E-N, David Bahnsen. To each according to his needs, from each according to his means. Look, what they do, as you point out, David, is they, in the guise of being benevolent, they really are screwing everything up, and the fact that they don't see that, for example, minimum wage, which you write about, It sounds like, hey, well, give him a raise. I mean, but it ends up hurting people in the end. How do they not see it? Explain that to us.
Well, for one thing, they really don't have an excuse, because even if the theory sounded good at the time, they actually tried it, and history proved that it significantly added to unemployment of lower-income people, of minorities, of inner-city people, of younger employees. By the way, the high minimum wage laws we see right now, that's the reason that there's almost no employment for 16 to 19-year-olds. Now, I agree, right. 16 to 19-year-olds are not the most productive parts of the economy, but you know what is important? 16 to 19-year-olds learning to show up on time, learning to take instruction from a boss, learning to work with coworkers. These are skills that most of us developed, you know, at the sandwich shop or the fast food restaurant or the movie theater when we were 16, 17, that helped us in our young adult careers a few years later. And now we're taking that away completely because employers can't afford to pay $15 an hour to a 16-year-old kid. And then the 16-year-old doesn't want the job. They see it as beneath them. This minimum wage stuff is not only economically corrosive, it's culturally corrosive.
Let's talk about this from a political stand here, which is what we do every day anyway, David. And that is the Trump administration, where your friend Larry Kudlow, our friend Larry Kudlow, did work. Compared to this administration, the Joe Biden administration, where it looks like the economy is going backwards, even though I do watch these cable shows and they say the opposite. You tell us, Trump administration versus current administration when it comes strictly to the economy.
Well, look, by and large, I'm very favorable to most of what was happening in terms of economic policy, the tax cuts marginally on corporate income, the deregulation was incredibly beneficial. And much of what is going on in the economy now that's good is the ongoing effect. None of those things have been undone. The tax rates from the Trump administration are still there. The deregulation is still there. And that's helped a lot of sectors. The one area where I'm critical of both sides, because I want to be totally bipartisan or nonpartisan.
That's fair. Yep.
Both administrations spent too much money. Okay, there was too much government spending that has to then extract from the private sector. But the biggest area is what the Biden administration wants to do is they want government to play a bigger role in the lives of the citizenry. And this is something I'm not just critical of the Biden administration versus Trump, but even versus Obama. Obama spent like crazy, but he said it was to pull us out of a recession. The Biden administration is not even pretending that this is Keynesian stimulative spending to help pull us out of tough times. They're just flat out saying we want to be the new FDR, New Deal, social entitlement, transfer payment administration. Well, this is not the DNA of our country. So I believe the incentives that Larry Kudlow and Steve Mnuchin and other guys in the Trump administration believed in, that was sound economic policy. The COVID thing was a mess. There were a lot of things, you know, there that complicate the discussion. But the fact of the matter is that what the Biden administration wants to do is a kind of New Deal economics that has decimated Europe, has decimated Japan, and it can't be allowed to happen here in the United States.
Wow, this book is so important, so smart, and I love you. Quote all kinds of people, de Tocqueville on Americans' love of wealth, and there's no stigma attached to it. The book is called There's No Free Lunch, 250 Economic Truths by David Bahnsen. So just to wrap it up briefly, this and to keep it just contemporary and not getting political, purely economics, the bill, Build Back Better bill, this social welfare Green New Deal bill, in my opinion, the resulting inflation that's going to be caused by it, in your opinion, David, is that a legitimate concern? I mean, they should not pass this bill, no?
Well, here's why they shouldn't pass it, okay? Because Japan has spent like crazy and has had deflation for 30 years. My view is if you don't believe it's going to create inflation, then you must believe it's going to create economic stagnation, that you're going to get 30 years of no economic growth if we go down the path of Japan. So whether one is worried about a hurricane or an earthquake, inflation or deflation, they're both really bad. And my own view is that over time, it creates inflation at first, and then it results in deflation later. And this is the worst possible outcome. So the number one reason to oppose this bill is that it redefines the relationship between the state and the citizen. We do not need these radical transfer payments. What we need is a society of individual agency and responsibility.
There it is, folks. There's no free lunch. 250 Economic Truths. David Bonson is the author. He's out, Larry Kudlow, quite a bit. That was a great appearance here today. The book is amazing. We wish you the best of luck and keep stopping by, David. Happy Thanksgiving. Thank you so much.
Happy Thanksgiving to you guys. Thanks so much.
All right, David Bonson. We'll take a short break. When we get back, JL Blessings handing out knapsacks to the homeless up and down 7th Avenue. It'll be my second consecutive year doing it. Tony Osso is the man in charge. He's a great guy, right in the holiday spirit, folks. You're going to love this next conversation. Live in studio, Tony Osso from JL Blessings, right here on Bernie and Sid. All right, 9:24 on your Tuesday morning, Bernie and Sid, 2 days before Thanksgiving. This is the season to give back. And last year, Bernie, you remember this, I got a call from a friend who said, meet me on 7th Avenue by Penn Station because I'm handing out knapsacks to the homeless. And I said, you must have the wrong number. I ain't doing that. Long story short, of course, I did do it, and it turned out to be, in terms of intrinsic value, a very rewarding day. I loved it. And I did a bunch of things last year. I'm doing more this year in that respect, paying it forward. And I had a chance that day to meet this guy, this very handsome guy, Tony Osso, JL Blessings out in New Jersey. And we walked up and down. Now, what was beautiful about that day was, you may not remember this, when we were done handing out the knapsacks, it snowed.
Yes.
It started snowing. That. And you talk about the Christmas spirit with the knapsacks. Up and down the Macy's lit windows. Here comes the snow. But I went to Andrew's coffee shop, and I just reveled in all of it. So thank you for that last year, and welcome here this year.
Guys, I'm excited to be here. Thank you guys for having me on the show. This is amazing, being able to just talk about J.O. Blessings and get the word out there to get people to help us. Yeah, I had an enjoyable experience with you joining us last year.
Thank you.
I remember that, the snow. We actually handed a backpack out to an older woman. It's an amazing photo with snow falling. I was actually putting a blanket on her and giving her one of our backpacks. That's one of my favorite pictures. But even more important is that we're trying to help people. You know, we're helping people. Last year we did over 1,758 backpacks.
Wow. Well, you can see the backpack right here, Bernie. It's right here. We took the last year we started in Penn Station, walked down 7th Avenue, ended up in the Port Authority. These are heavy, just so you know, Bern. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff in this bag. In fact, Tony, if you wouldn't mind, maybe you can get up.
Absolutely.
And you can watch us live on TV right now on WABCRadio.tv, WABCRadio.tv. Tony's going to show you what's in this bag.
Look at that.
Well, Bern, could you imagine if you're a homeless guy or a girl, you get this? Look at this.
Forget homeless guy. I want one right now. It looks very appealing.
Tony, can you tell people what's in the bag as you start to take some of this stuff out? These bags are like 20 pounds each, I swear to God.
I see food. I see an umbrella. I see cups, you know.
We have there's a lot of things in here, and this is what I tell people. Look, make it your own. Put what you want someone to have. We have the Simple Bare Essentials, a brush.
You talk in the mic when you do that. I'm sorry.
Sure. Yeah, story about this brush. As a woman took a brush out the one time, and the first thing she started doing was just combing her hair. Who knows, you know, when was the last time she was able to do
that? Probably years, right, Tony?
Right.
Years.
So this is simple things that we take for granted.
Oh, it's been years for me, too.
But you look great, man. You look great.
Thank you.
Again, it's non-perishable foods. We got wipes. There's hauls. There's all sorts of clothing, like
socks,
scarves, gloves,
cool.
Blankets. There's in here. We got these are more scarves. Again, there's so much stuff. Look, they even put playing cards, which I always tell people, make it your own, so they could, you know, do whatever they want with the gift that you're given.
Truly a blessing if you're down on your luck on the streets of New York. Truly a blessing. So, Tony, tell us again more about JL Blessings, how people can access it and stuff like that and help out.
Sure. Yeah, you just visit our website, jlblessings.org. It tells you there we have a flyer that tells you when the drop-offs are, and our distribution is. You can also email us at justlove.jlb @gmail.com or visit our social media sites and just DM me and I'll get back to you as soon as we can. Just one more thing I want to say that...
Yeah, by all means, we have plenty of time.
Okay, great. One important thing is that with the backpacks is that we want a handwritten positive note to go with it.
Did you write these or somebody else?
No, we actually, we have, in the community, we have children writing them, schools that are, you know, participating, and they're actually writing these notes. We write them as well, but we make sure that no backpack goes without a handwritten note and a first name, so they have someone to be grateful for. Because imagine going through this backpack throughout, you know, the holiday season, and you're just pulling stuff out. You just want to attach it to a name.
Of course.
So the first name is just as important, because now they're like, oh, my God, Sid just gave me this backpack.
Yeah.
You know, how this is amazing. And they just have that grateful, that spirit.
So
maybe
read that note. I'm curious. What does the note say?
So this note says, don't ever stop believing in miracles. After all, this is how we got here. You are loved, and you're worth it.
Wow.
Right?
Very nice.
Wow.
It's amazing.
That is amazing.
And we have tons of these messages from kids writing these notes, and they'll be put in all these backpacks.
So how does this start? I mean, you're clearly a nice guy. I've known you now for a year. You got a big heart, you know.
Thanks. Thank you.
You do. This type of work, it takes a very special person. So congratulations.
Thank you.
But how does this all start? How does Tony Iaso start wanting something like this?
Bernie, that's a million-dollar question.
I'm Sid, but that's fine.
I mean, Sid.
Sorry. I think Tony's a little nervous.
A little bit. A little bit.
You're doing great. You sound great. Absolutely, I promise you. You sound great.
I really do.
That's right. Give me a little more time. I'll warm up.
We have a shot at the kilo in the back for Tony.
Yeah, but what motivates Tony? Come on. That's the bottom line is what we want. You're a great guy. What motivates you?
I mean, I love helping people, and I believe that, you know, giving is everybody thinks it's a selfless act, but it's selfish because I get so much out of it. And I use selfish as a positive word. Giving these backpacks out does a lot for me. We started this 5 years ago.
Only 5 years? What did you do before that? I'm just curious. You were like a stockbroker or something, or an actor? Or
no.
What did you do?
No, I'm in the real estate game. I've been in the real estate game for a long time.
So, right.
I came up with the concept. I said, everybody keeps asking me, how did you get started? And I said, the only way I'll reveal it was on the Ellen Show, but she's not going to be no longer there. So, it's a simple concept. We don't take any money. No money, you know, you have to just participate. And we're getting, like I said, we're getting the whole communities to participate. We got schools, we got just families that are sharing the experience with family members and making these backpacks together. And they're sharing their experience with us and telling us that this was amazing just to remind them of the simple things that are needed.
Very nice. I got to tell you, Tony, it's one hell of a thing you're doing. Are you a Christian, or is it a religious thing on your part, or just...
No, I am. I'm religious, but this was just based on what our motto is. Our motto is JL, just love.
Just love.
Just love. Yeah.
When you say religious, what does that mean? You go to church every Sunday. What do you do? I'm curious.
I do go to church. I can't say every Sunday.
Okay.
But I am religious. I Catholic faith, so I believe in... God and
sure,
but I can't say I go every Sunday.
Okay,
right, so you're going to hell.
Thank you.
By the way, I go to church a lot. Bernie can attest to that because we are right down the block here, basically from St. Patrick's Cathedral.
Right. Yeah, it's beautiful. And, there.
Oh, it's beautiful. I've gone many a Friday. In fact, our good friend Ed Randall is at the lectern on Fridays. So December 7th is the date when I'm going to meet you, I guess, again at Penn Station.
Yes.
I'm going to start handing out knapsacks up and down 7th Avenue. Now, it's just 7th Avenue to Port Authority. Is that the destination?
We do from 7th Avenue. Then we have a team of JLers. As you saw, we have a group of 4 to 5 people that go together, and then multiple groups, and we go all the way down to 10th Avenue and all the way to 6th, and we walk all the way uptown.
Wow. But you do this also in New Jersey, right?
We do it in Newark, New Jersey. We collaborate with the Covenant House in New Jersey, and they put us into schools that kids are on the brink of homelessness.
Yeah.
And we walk in and we bless them with these backpacks. But we don't just drop them off. We actually talk to the kids and try to inspire them and see what's driving them, what's motivating them.
I have to give Dolores credit because she's the one that actually did introduce us last year. She took me up and down the road. You know, she's going to do some work in New Jersey. So she does deserve the credit for at least you and I getting together and making this happen today. So thank you for that, Dolores.
So one more time, Tony, how can people help? Just one more time, the website, how do they contact you?
So, again, they could get to us by reaching out, go on our website, jlblessings.org. And also they can email me at justlove.jlb@gmail.com, and they could print out our flyer, and it'll tell them where the drop-off locations are to drop off these filled backpacks, and we'll get them out to the people who really need them.
What if there's folks out there that want to actually help deliver the knapsacks like I do? Could they do that too? Anybody?
Absolutely. So we have December 5th is preparation day, and what we do there is we make sure every backpack is completely full, has a handwritten note, has a first name, awesome, has a free resource list, and then we put our tag, Just Love, on it because, again, that's our motto. And I tell everyone, the more love you give, the more love you receive. And absolutely, that's what we want them to know. So, that day we prepare it. They can come help that day. We'll be in Norwood, New Jersey at the community center. And we'll also be in Tenafly, New Jersey.
Oh.
Yes.
My old stomping grounds.
At Keller Williams' office. And
nice.
We'll be putting them together in those two locations. So that's a great day to participate.
Sure.
And if they want to come out, we're going on December 7th to New York City. December 8th is Newark, New Jersey. December 9th is Patterson. Again, with Dolores Catania, right, we're going to deliver to one of her places, which is Oasis.
Been there.
Yeah, it's great. Great organization for battered women and children. So we give a ton of backpacks there, and we also give to Rockland County, New York. And that's on December 10th. We're going to give.
Where are you in Rockland County? New City? Or, no, I can't. Probably Spring Valley.
We're up in by Spring Valley, and we also give it to Pomona. We work with the police department there.
Yeah, great people. Well, listen, you do amazing work. I enjoyed it immensely last year. I can't wait to do it again this year. You talk about intrinsic value. It is huge, as you could only imagine, Bernard. You know, you've done stuff like this many times.
It restores our faith in humanity. This gentleman right here.
Yes, so thank you so much.
Thanks,
and
I appreciate it.
I'll see you in about a week and a half.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to having you again, joining us.
I'm looking forward to it. One more time, where can people find you? JL Blessings?
JLBlessings.org.
JLBlessings.org. Folks, check it out today. Tony Iso, that's the man helping make Christmas for the less fortunate better here in 2021. More of Bernie and Sid, including Beat Bernie, coming back at you.
Now, it's time to Beat Bernie.
It's time to Beat Bernie.
Sponsored by Fearless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters.
You think you can beat Bernie?
Good luck.
It's time to Beat Bernie.
All right, time to Beat Bernie. Bernie's our last game. He'll be back on Monday. He's taking tomorrow off. I'll be here tomorrow solo. I got a great show. Jack Cittarelli, Joseph Aboud, Joe Tacopina, and Peter King, all stopping by tomorrow. So a big show tomorrow, but Bernie will be back on Monday. Today's contestant is out of Oceanside, a retired NYPD officer. Dennis, thank you for your service, my friend. Happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, likewise. Thanks for having me on the show.
You got it, pal. You ready to play today's game?
Yeah, I'm going to try to beat Bernie, but I listened to your show. He's pretty good, so it's going to be tough.
Let's see what you can do. All right. I think you're going to do very, very well. So here we go. Legend says Germans in World War I called United States Marines Teufelshund, which led to what alliterative nickname? Alliterative nickname. Teufelshund. I'll give you a hint. Drake's Cakes.
What'd you say?
I'll give you a hint. Drake's Cakes. It's a product of Drake's Cakes. Teufelshund.
Oh.
I mean, who would know this?
Twinkie.
That's not a bad guess.
Wrong,
but
like a bag of anthem.
We're looking for devil dogs.
Twinkies? No.
Devil dogs.
Okay.
All right, number two.
Damn it.
The holiday Purim is celebrated every year in March. What religion is that? Mine.
That would be Judaism.
Yes. By ringing a bell, who was the Russian physiologist that made dogs drool even if they couldn't see food?
Wait, say that again, what?
You know this. By ringing a bell, who was the Russian physiologist that made dogs drool even if they couldn't see the food? You know this. Come on.
I don't know that one. Oh, man.
All right. Pavlov.
Wrong, you two-legged back of anthrax.
No, Pavlov. Number four, you will find Badlands National Park and Big Sioux River in what U.S. state? I'll give you a hint. It's not North Dakota, but it's
South Dakota.
Hey! Pretty good hint, I guess. I don't know. Number five, in 1896, Adolf Ox brought what newspaper for $875,000 and created its slogan, "All the news that's fit to print." Makes sense. Would be a this newspaper. Anti-Semitic.
That would be.
Come on. Used to be a great paper. Now it's loaded with anti-Semitism and nonsense and lies.
Daily News.
Oh!
All
right, listen, that's a good guess.
Times.
Yes, the Times. Yes, yes, yes. All right, you got two right, Dennis. Hold on, we'll see if Bernard fares any better today.
I'm in trouble.
Oh, yeah, no, you're in trouble. But you never know. He could be having a bad day. He's, you know, he may have, God forbid, he may have cancer or something. Who knows? I don't know. He doesn't feel well. So, he doesn't have cancer, by the way. You can tell, right? He's fine. He probably has like a urinary tract infection or something, right?
He seems great.
Right? He seems okay,
he does,
right?
Yeah, yeah. But this guy's going to lose, unfortunately.
He is going to lose, yeah. Bernie, three right, you win today, okay?
Yes.
All right. All right.
I like it.
How many pairs of glasses did you wear today? Three, I think. This has to be a record for you.
Two.
Okay.
Always two. One for reading and one for distance.
All right.
And they're both, by the way, drugstore specials.
Of course.
Is that right?
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like $8, right?
Yeah, give or take.
No, I need them. I can't see a damn thing. Like, I'm having difficulty reading this game, I swear to God. Legend says Germans in World War I called United States Marines Teufelshund, which led to what alliterative nickname? And I'll give you a hint. Drake's Cakes product.
Drake's Cakes, alliterative nickname. The U.S. Marines, you said?
Yes. Well, that's what the Germans in World War I called our guys this.
The
Teufelshund.
Teufelshund.
Yes.
Okay. Tough turkeys.
Devil dogs.
Devil dogs, of course.
The holiday Purim is celebrated every year in March.
Tough turkeys. Go ahead, bro. I'm sorry.
What religion is Purim?
Purim is the Islamic religion would be the wrong answer.
Right.
It would be the Jewish religion.
By ringing a bell, who was the Russian physiologist that made dogs drool even if they couldn't see food?
Einstein would be the wrong answer.
Correct.
It is Pavlov.
Right. You will find Badlands National Park and the Big Sioux River in what U.S. state?
It's either North or South Dakota. I will have to go with South Dakota.
You'll also see Christine Holmes' ass, hey now.
Yeah. I mean, Governor,
which one would you rather see out of the three?
I thought she was Miss...
she was Miss South Dakota or something at one point.
Was she really?
I believe she was.
Okay.
Well, what were you going to say?
I thought that's what she was when I found out. No, she's the governor.
She's the governor now. Yes, she is.
Yeah.
She's going to be Trump's running mate in 2024. Because DeSantis
won't. I don't think so.
All right. In she as pretty as Tulsi Gabbard?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You think so? Okay. Who's the other one that's actually really, really pretty that we're always talking about, me and Bernie? I'll have to think about it. In 1896.
AOC?
She's not pretty, but she's cute, but she's a psycho. In 1896, Adolf Ox brought, it could be Oaks, I don't know, brought what newspaper for $875,000 and created its slogan, quote, all the news
that's fit to print, the New York Times.
All right, Bernie wins 4-2. Bernie, say hello to Dennis in Oceanside.
What's up, my neighbor, Dennis?
Hey, Bernie, good game. You outmatched me today, but wasn't surprised. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing okay. Retired NYPD. Thank you for your service, Dennis. You heard about our hospital emergency room being closed down in Long Beach, right?
Yes. Now you got to come. You need a ride. I'll get there quicker than any ambulance. I'll take you there right to South Nassau, right near me.
My man. Hey, listen. You know what, Dennis? I think we've probably spoken to you before. Remember one of your fellow residents and fellow NYPD members, that chick, that lady, was busted for that plot to have her husband whacked. Remember that?
She was. Yes. Is she still available?
Well, she got, I think she was sentenced to like 4 or 5 years in prison or something. So she will be available soon. You just hang in there,
no,
bro.
I didn't know. I'm just kidding. I didn't know her. But let me give a shout out to the guys in blue over the holidays. Be safe. If you're off, have a happy Thanksgiving. If you're working, try to find somewhere to eat. And God bless them. Be safe and have a great Thanksgiving to everybody.
No doubt. Dennis, well said. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dennis.
Thanks for playing, bro.
1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Your last chance to wish Bernard a happy Thanksgiving. I'll be here tomorrow. He will not. Is coming up next. Say goodbye to Bernie and Sid.
You can play Beat Bernie again tomorrow at this time, or you can take a stab at the other side of Midnight's $1,000 Minute, hosted by Frank Morano, every weekday morning at 4:30. You have the chance to win $1,000 if you can answer 10 consecutive questions correctly in 1 minute. Listen to The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano on the overnights for entertaining and informative talk and the $1,000 minute.
Beat Bernie. Sponsored by Fearless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters on 77 WABC.
Oyster Cult, last 2 minutes of this show. No time for calls, so. More interested in talking to Bernie, so. Did the MRI yesterday, we're going to find out
Sydney,
today.
Sydney, yeah, maybe. Okay. Find out some results. Either way, it's only a probability of what might be
right.
Or what might not be.
We don't think you have anything. And Pete, we're good at this stuff.
You look great.
There you
Why,
go.
Thank you. Yes, I don't think I'm dying.
I don't think so, but, either. You're fine.
If I am... Just let me know. Give me a few months so I can drink and smoke and enjoy it.
It was a good run.
Regardless of the results, you're going to be fine.
It was a good run.
Yeah, it was a good run.
Yeah.
It could have been a lot worse. I mean, I've left a lot of guys that I knew.
Yeah.
They ain't here anymore.
I think
that I grew up with.
People would have bet 10 years ago I would die before you, so. I still think that's the case. I still think I'd die before you, so you're going to be fine. You're going to get your father tonight, and then dinner at the house, right, on Thursday with Carol and the kids. That's beautiful.
Dinner at the home. We're going to have my dad will be there. My mother-in-law, who's 92 years old.
God bless her.
All my kids, nice. My daughter-in-law, and everybody.
That's awesome.
My sister-in-law from El Salvador. My
yes.
brother-in-law from Jackson Heights.
Great time.
All of them are going to be there. My nephew, Andres, is going to be there. It's going to be terrific.
Great. Anything else after the holiday Thursday you guys are doing, Friday through Sunday, anything fun or not really?
Yeah, we'll hang out, you know,
cool.
as a family, cool. go out to dinner, that type of thing.
Good.
It's chill, you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. Well, you deserve the rest. It's been, you know, we go on these runs. We had a lot of time off over the summer. Then we come back, and you get these runs, and by the time Thanksgiving comes along, now it's closer to Christmas, obviously, so we're not going to be dead by Christmas.
Well, I hope you don't get the runs after you eat Thanksgiving dinner.
Are you having turkey?
But you're right. We go on these long stretches,
yeah,
like this.
Since, it beats us up a
since
little bit.
Labor Day.
Right.
And these things are kind of welcome, very yeah. welcome.
Well, you deserve it. Have a great vacation.
Well, thank you, Sydney.
I'll miss you tomorrow. I love you.
I really appreciate it. I love you as well.
And I hope the news is good. I'm sure it will be, so.
Yeah, I will let you know.
Thank you.
If I find out today, but whenever I do. Okay. Either way, it's all good, baby, baby.
Good. Pete Morgan, great to see you. Happy Thanksgiving.
You and Maureen. Thank you. Yep, thanks.
Casey Spencer, everybody.
Yep.
Absolutely. Speaking of love, we love you, Pete Morgan.
We love you.
Peerless Boilers, baby.
I'm back tomorrow with Joe Tacopina, Peter King, Joseph Aboud, and Jack Chitterelli. Yeah, big show tomorrow.